camera's on me. This one?
That camera is on you and I for Zoom, so Brandon can see us. That camera is the one that's going to be on Facebook as soon as the intro's done.
Okay.
It's better quality.
Some people are saying I never look at the camera.
Okay. Well, that's because you don't know which one it is.
Well, I'm just looking at my notes, and so I. Yeah. It's not that I'm trying to deprive anyone of my
plus we gotta get
eye contact.
Gotta get the dealsinthed.com studio banner in the shot. So.
Okay.
Very important.
Well, you know, I was looking at the Royal Oak Bucks spent over the weekend, which is really fun, just going up and down at all these jolly pumpkins and lilies and what else is on there? I mean, places I've never heard of that have just tons of our audience and other people going in because those Royal Oak Bucks are in people's pockets and they're ready for you to spend it. Go to downtown Royal Oak, spend your Royal Oak Bucks, and don't forget to use the Lyft. The Lyft is not being used as much as the Bucks.
Okay.
No, so I think people should. I mean, it seems like a great chance to not have to worry about driving, especially at night. Get your $10 off Lyft. The code is G-O-2-R-O. Go to Royal Oak. Get $10 off your ride in and your ride home, too. And people get rides home at 1:30. It's not like you can't get a car. It might take a couple minutes. And then more Royal Oak Bucks are coming. So spend, everybody. It's been great for Royal Oak. They've really, really enjoyed this. And Hi-Hi. A lot of people are going to Hi-Hi. What's Hi-Hi?
I have no idea. Tell me about it.
I just know people are spending their Royal Oak Bucks there.
Didn't we go through this before?
Did we go through over Hi-Hi? We went over some other ones. Little Tree Sushi Bar. That's another one. Royal Oak Gas, which is a... They make whiskey there, don't they?
I don't know.
See, I mean, I'm learning all about Royal Oak.
See all these places? Hi-Hi's the toy store.
Oh, okay.
I know where that's at.
There's so much to do. So much shopping, so much drinking, so much eating, all that stuff.
Who doesn't love all that?
And more money is coming. And free parking through August in downtown Royal Oak, too. So there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brandon. Oh, poor Brandon.
What happened?
Hi, Brandon. I didn't have him potted up.
Oh.
Hi, buddy.
I've been shooting awesome drops the entire time. And
no, you haven't. What'd you play? We'll go back in time.
I'm a Luigi.
Isn't that in Royal Oak?
Yes, Luigi.
Oh, okay.
Luigi Cotraro.
Thank God we went back for that.
Yeah, Luigi.
Lily!
I didn't think it was that important. Oh, Lily for lilies. Okay.
Jeez, sorry. No, I just wanted to be a part of the show, that's all.
It's very loud.
Well, has everyone seen Mel on the Collector's Call show?
Yeah, that's a cute little show. It's a fun show.
I was riveted.
You like it?
I was absolutely riveted.
Well, because
I'm always
Mel.
Riveted by Mel, and he had his partner there, who doesn't seem to be nearly as invested in the business as Mel, by the way.
No.
Car.
No.
Should we play a clip of Mel on...
Yeah,
this is on MeTV. This is international.
What is MeTV?
It's international television. The entire world was watching Mel's car collection.
Is that the answer you want to hear?
Collector's call. I think I logged minute 10 as being good.
I have to tell you, Mel was so geeked when they came up with a price for the Monkey Mobile. Mel's so psyched.
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
Because I didn't know, he spent $360,000 on the Monkey Mobile, and I just didn't know what they would say it was worth. I mean, they could say, it's worth $150,000, I guess, but there's only two of them.
Give me one second. I want to pull it up on my computer so people can see it online as well.
Okay.
I think the bid before my final bid was $350,000.
You can actually see the bidding online.
What? Really?
There's a video of Mel bidding on the Monkey Mobile. I'm not kidding.
No, he's got a really funny comment about the bidding. I don't want to steal his thunder. It's really funny what he says.
Let me mention Dr. Yaldo because a trusted friend and supporter of the show is back. Yes! The Yaldo Eye Center is open to perform state-of-the-art custom LASIK. And for people 45-plus, multifocal lens implants, the staff is 100% healthy, following all regulations with daily temperature checks, and works with pristinely safe equipment. So, I mean, this is another sign that we're maybe moving forward a little bit with Dr. Yaldo back in action.
I love your eyes.
Until Corona, hundreds of our listeners, I mean, literally over 100 of our listeners, enjoyed freedom from a life without glasses and contacts. They now enjoy that. And now see better than they ever did without annoying old technologies. And look at all the time you spend with contacts, just dicking around with contacts. What a pain. Anyway.
Open your eyes.
Forget about that, dude.
Dave is 50 years old, wore bifocals, got implants. No more losing his glasses off the side of his boat. Reads tiny print. He's got 20/15. I guess he could have a see off with Eli, too. So go call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell him Drew and Mike sent you. And I'm glad, thanks to Eli, for helping us get Dr. Yaldo back on, and delighted to be part of that. Anything going on at the Hall Financial Hotline today? Oh, maybe we should call Mal. Oh, we're going to call Maz.
Okay.
There's an issue, important issue with Maz.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can Maz, can he zoom in? That was the question Drew asked me before the show. Can Maz zoom in? I'm like, if he knows how.
He hasn't done it yet.
Okay, let's try it.
Before we call Maz, we might want to roll on the boner line, because I think a listener, a boner line participant, brings up a question.
Okay. Do you want to contact Maz about him zooming in? I'll do one more commercial and we'll do the boner line.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I just think it's going to be a Herculean effort to get to work.
Well, if it is, it will take that up with Maz when we do get him on the phone.
Shit, yeah.
ML's queued up. End of show meeting.
We have boner line action today, Brandon?
Sure do.
Okay. I was going to read this review from the Hall guy. Where is that? I cannot believe people send us these thank you notes to send.
Oh,
to David
I
Hall.
Put it in the. I put it with the spots. It was the loose piece of paper.
The new one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just keep going. Should be the right before.
Yeah. It's happened again. Hall Financial wants you to know that mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. You put the letter in here?
I did. I put it in there. Really? I bet you that. No, it was loose. It must have fallen out. I swear to swear it on my life that I put it in there.
Oh,
there it is.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, yeah. My wife was looking into refinancing our house to a 15-year mortgage. I kept telling her to contact Hall Financial. For some reason, she wouldn't do it. Why doesn't she do as she's told? And was working with the bank that our mortgage is with.
I agree with my wife.
After finally getting a response with the details from the woman, which took a couple days, I convinced my wife to call Hall for a comparison. Not only did Hall get back to her immediately, but they came back with a lower interest rate and no money out of pocket. That's big. Bank wanted $700 out of pocket. It would have been more than over $20 more a month than Hall. Not only that, but we called Hall on the 14th and closed on the 31st. That's 17 days. They brought the average down. It would have been 13 days, but there was a snag with our insurance, so we had to reschedule. So technically, he could have brought the average down even more. We signed the papers at our house. It worked out that we don't have to pay August or September payments. That's pretty cool. Love the show. Been a listener since way back. Thanks from Kevin, and he says, I can never talk enough about the Beatles, too, which makes me think that he's even smarter. I know. We don't have the boner line stuff here. Why does everything seem
They're off for August. They're off for August.
They are?
The boner line, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no more 20% off with the promo code?
Well, there probably is.
At manscaped.com. I wouldn't mind if they got sold a few more Manscaped, because we'd like to get them on.
They'll come back if everybody starts shaving their pubes again.
Manscaped.com. Try to use a promo code, Drew, for 20% off. I don't know.
And look, I don't know who wouldn't want to advertise the boner line. I mean,
I don't know either. I think we should maybe get a sponsor for Carl, too.
Yeah.
On WATP. Anyway,
make Yaldo the boner line sponsor so everyone can see boners. I don't know.
The boner line number is 209-66 boner. And Brandon, you want to bring us today's boner line?
Sure.
All right.
So, watching the Tigers game, like normal, regular thing, having a couple beers. Some random fella comes up to bat, Whit Merrifield. It's a 3-run bomb. And I'm like, oh, why do I care? Oh, yeah, it's Brandon's fucking dumbass fantasy team. Thanks, Brandon.
That ball is well hit. Knock, knock. Who's there? Mr. Baseball. Mr. Baseball who? Mr. Baseball went and got himself out of here.
To be my own fantasy, man.
I'm going to invoice you for my wasted time watching good old-fashioned orgy on Hulu. Oh. That must have been the biggest piece of shit movie I've ever seen.
Wrong.
Not funny.
Whiner.
Not sure if this has been brought up before. I noticed that one of the police dogs in St. Clair Shores, his name is Maz.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how many quid pro quos Tommy had to pull for that one, but I think you might need to get a forensic accountant on it.
You butt out.
True. I need to correct you on the Aerosmith thing. Shit.
Oh.
in his Aerosmith van.
I'm listening to the July 27th show, following along with your guys talking about the Jonathan Krupe story, you know, that load that was hooking up with Miss Pumpkin. Well, I was Google imaging him, and oh my God, you guys got to check out his bulge.
Okay.
There's this one, he's walking out of a courtroom in cuffs and black sweatpants, and dear God, you guys might have to call Jonah on this one.
I got a feeling, buddy, those changes are wonderful. Just waiting to get out.
I was watching my brother's dog for the weekend last weekend, and I had the great idea to have him jam out to Squeaky Deaky. I remember you guys introduced that to me, and I'd love to hear that if you guys ever mentioned dogs or anything like that, because it's a great track.
Squeaky Deaky, I love my squeaky toy. Squeaky Deaky, it makes me jump for joy.
Just giving you an update here on Dick Marks. I just got blocked by him on Twitter. I've learned that Dick Marks can definitely dish it, but he doesn't seem to be able to take it.
Social media and Twitter's what's destroying this country anyway.
When you do the McCardi B fart on top of the Dave Matthews Band song, can you please play that at least once an episode? Man, it would make my day.
Did I hear that? Wait, hold on.
You guys are talking about old drops. You don't have any friends. Tony has friends. I have friends. Don Silver has friends. Francis Lynn has friends. Janice Stein has friends. You don't have friends.
Losing my entire mind. The Sandlot is the greatest baseball movie of all time. It's incredible.
How do you claim to be a baseball player and have never watched fucking Sandlot?
The Sandlot is the shit.
Yes, the Sandlot is an awesome movie and a classic.
It's objectively the greatest baseball movie of all time.
I agree.
I just wanted to compliment Brand Don for that nice little squeaker he let out at 55:33 on the July 28th podcast when you guys were talking to the Zeppelin cover band. I noticed it.
And we've just been kind of going around San Diego. We did a show in TJ.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I'm driving down the New Jersey Turnpike, and I can't stop cracking up. Can you please call David Trump and see how he's doing?
I wish you the best in 2020 and drive safely.
I've been playing catch up on some old episodes, and I keep running into you guys talking about the theme from Charles in Charge or the Charles in Charge show with Scott Baio. Check out on YouTube Jimmy Fallon, his impression of Bob Dylan singing the theme of Charles in Charge.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. Now I want Charles in charge of me.
You son of a bitch.
I started watching The Sandlot the other day.
Me too. Hashtag me too. I did.
It seems like
turn it off.
I would have liked it better like 52 years ago. Just saying.
Brandon?
Whatever. All right. Cool.
I mean, did you watch it when you were like 8?
That was my 12,
whole point. 9? I think it came out when I was
kids movie.
Probably 10 or something like that. So yeah, I watched it when I was young, but I also watch it still to this day when it comes on. It's
really
a piece of cinematic history. I mean, I would rather watch that than say a Hugh Grant movie. I'd rather watch The Matrix too.
I don't really ballyhoo Hugh Grant movies.
Well, that's up for debate.
What did I ballyhoo?
You seem to like a lot of Hugh Grant movies.
I liked
great pivot by Brandon there to turn it back on you and Hugh Grant movies.
Wait, what's that with a boy or
about a boy?
I like that movie.
Isn't that
he has a cameo in it?
Chris Matthews' favorite one too. Is it that movie?
Yeah. No, he likes the Christmas movie.
Isn't that the
that's
something no. Love? I don't know.
Yeah, Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Yeah, I would never quote it over and over and over as he does. But yeah, for children, I think Sandlot is a great choice. I don't know why adults would be watching it over and over, but.
Stand By Me was a great kids movie, too.
It is, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Fantastic movie.
So do we want to take a look at Mel?
Well, first off,
quickly?
Do you think Maz is going to figure out the Zoom?
No.
I showed you the text conversation I've had. Really?
I think we better call him. It sounds like
he hasn't said anything yet.
Are you sure? I mean, you have to send him a code, right?
Yeah, well, but that's not difficult.
Yeah, but
I just
said,
send him a link.
I said, let me know when you get to the join a meeting part.
Is he still on board?
I guess so, because he said, I've never Zoomed.
Okay. Should we play the Mel?
Technology.
We'll give him a chance. I put a poll up on Facebook Live to see if Maz will figure out Zoom.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Technological Genius.
Let me turn my camera so people can see Mel. Because
this was intense. And it wraps up the Collector's Call show with them basically offering to trade a vehicle for one of Mel's vehicles or whoever the collector is. And, of course, I don't think I even have to tell people that there was no way Mel was parting with the Munsters.
It was kind of
coach.
I mean, I know that's the premise of this show, but it's kind of ridiculous.
It's a dumb premise.
Well, but it's not always Cures that they deal with. Sometimes it's other collectible items. But there's no way he was going to trade any of his Cures for for the one that guy brought. Oh, Maz just sent me a picture of the Apple headphones and microphone. So he does have that. So we're getting closer. I'll let
good.
Okay. So here's what I thought was probably the highlight that most people would care about.
Talk about passion. The man is literally wearing.
And that is Blair from Facts of Life.
Yeah, Lisa Welchel.
Also was on Survivor.
She looks good.
I don't know. Partnership is. Maybe not the right word. I don't try to.
That's
my first
partner.
These two share a warehouse where they showcase their Hollywood cars along with other vintage Hollywood memorabilia.
Collaborators? Let's go with that one.
I brought along John Jensa, a specialty vehicle appraiser.
Why don't you this guy?
I thought I had to get him at the right part.
I was going to say.
I wrote 1010 down. Hang on. Oh, there it is. That's why. The Monkey Mobile.
The Monkey's car. And Mel, this one's yours. Where did you get it? How did you get it?
I heard about this car was going to come to an auction, so I decided I had to go for it, and I ended up winning.
And was it because you just loved the Monkees growing up?
Yep, big fan of the Monkees, everything about them.
The Monkey Mobile is huge. Maybe they should have called it the Gorilla Mobile. So what was the starting
bid? It is
big. Good one.
I forgot about that.
They start everything at like $1 million, and then immediately it drops down.
So what price did you beat him with?
The hammer price was $360,000.
Look how easily he revealed that. Now, we fought him for years to find this out.
I was just going to say that. It was like pulling teeth to find out. Cause he didn't
I think
say.
The bid before my final bid was $350.
I mean, you get
it's
Lisa Welchel.
Very loud.
Apparently, Lisa Welchel can get anything out of him, but it takes us years. She is cute, by the way.
She's all right.
She's really good.
No problem.
Wow, you really wanted the Monkey Mobile.
Yeah. She's impressed.
He really wanted that car. Well, if I notice somewhere that there's a signature, is that one of the Monkees?
All of the Monkees are on here. The Monkey Mobile is my favorite car of all these cars.
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
And so now we come to you, John.
Here we go.
How much is this car worth?
Well, there's only two of these vehicles. There may be tributes that somebody has built, but there are only two that are known.
I like those shirts the monkey's wearing, by the way. The matching shirts.
Probably
I love
cost
those
somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000 to manufacture back then, the way it is now. A lot of man hours, a lot of
it's
very custom
car.
Today, the value on the car, I would say it's an easy $500,000.
Whoa!
The value John put on it, I think, is probably
oh, and
realistic.
Mel backs it up.
I would think that it could go for that kind of money.
And it will never be sold.
The Scooby-Doo van. Where did you find this?
Believe it or not, this came from eBay. Thought it would go
from
for some
eBay.
Money, but
Scooby-Doo van. What a piece of shit. Before Mel fixed it up. I will say that.
And I understood
eBay?
Why. Because it was a real mess.
Did
look
you
that
help him with the work?
Shit.
A little bit.
What did you have to do?
Most of it was like body work.
Sounds like
there,
Dirty John and the boys were in there. In that machine.
Are you surprised he let Clark drive that car now, knowing that he bought it for $300?
I am pretty surprised.
I'm shocked that he bought it. Or that he let Clark drive
it. I think Mel was excited
it.
About us at the time. He's gotten over us now.
Yeah, the veneer is worn off of Mel. That's a
so
shame.
How much money, Mike, do you think that you guys put into it to restore it?
We did a lot of it ourselves. A
couple of thousand?
Listen to this dispute.
Probably.
A little more, you think?
A little bit more than that? What would you guess, Mel?
I'm thinking we got about 5,000.
About 5,000.
Wait, don't ever buy anything from Mel.
It's something that somebody made.
Hey, he's not a successful businessman.
So you
looks,
made about
right.
7,000, put 5,000 in it. It looks fabulous for that much money. I can't imagine that he could now turn around and sell this for more, but you're the expert.
These vans back in the 70s were extremely popular.
He's got 12,000 in it. That's all.
Where they put the shag carpeting in it and put seats in it and beds and whatnot and go out and party. Something like this one right here, I'll give it a large range of 10 to 18, maybe $20,000.
Wow, what?
That
wow.
Somebody might give for it.
That's obvious.
It's got to be worth more than that.
I don't know, man. Yeah.
Oh. Well, maybe it's less because we know that Mel doesn't get out of it and party. should we try calling Mel?
They get into the Batmobile, too.
Oh, yeah, the Batmobile's on right
for,
now.
$85,000, and we bought a total of $100,000 in it.
They put $100,000 in it?
Well, all
told. Oh, and he got that
expert
plus guy.
$85,000 plus $15,000, and it's worth $150,000 grand. That's pretty good.
Well, he bought it for $85,000, spent $100,000.
Yeah.
And it's worth $35,000.
All told, they put $100,000
okay.
into it.
Okay. I have a feeling on this show they automatically just up it like 50%. Must be some kind of rule before you go on.
Well, that guy's trying to make the value seem higher so he can rip him off of this prospective trade in the end.
Do we dare try Mel? I mean, we got him.
Mel, Maz.
It was around this time of day, I think, when we reached him. Or should we just do Maz first?
Well, Maz says he's downloaded the app. He asked for the meeting number. Still waiting for him to appear. So far, the poll result is 82% have very little faith that Maz is going to figure out how to zoom in.
So far, they're right.
It's not fair. We can do Mel. Let me find Mel. Too much to do right now, man. I'm overwhelmed.
Well, we can be quick with Mel.
Yeah, let's see.
In the meantime, we can bust out the audio that Mel sent to us when he first got the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo.
Well, here she is. They left her under an overpass for the night. Bodily fluid and hair samples, we determined that a bunch of old homeless dudes had an orgy in the car. You know what that's called when they do that in there? It's called a soup kitchen. It's pretty rough stuff. Not long after that, a mama raccoon came along and gave birth on the floor. Oh. Placenta blew out all over the back window there. Yeah, and then to top it all off, some joker comes along, takes himself a nifty little dump in the driver's seat. This is what I would call a spite shit. Oh. Believe me, everybody that was in on this orgy was more than willing. In fact, they even left you a note here. Thanks for the F-Shack. Love Dirty Mike and the boys.
Oh, boy, that's too bad. That is really too bad.
All right, I have two numbers from Alec. I can never remember which one works better.
No. I so don't want to do.
Well, it's either me that or the business. Do you think if that Monkeymobile didn't have spongy brakes, it'd be worth more?
No, I don't think the guy knows about the spongy brakes.
It's true, he didn't drive it.
What if the whole staff over there knows that Mel now is friends with us again? I think he made an announcement.
Oh, no, Mel's not answering. It's not like we're calling during dinner, or maybe we are.
He's probably out in the Monkeymobile. 5/8 at least.
Puerto Rico. Hi, this is Mel. Please leave a message.
Do you want to leave a message?
Yeah,
at the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mel, it's the Drew and Mike show, and we all saw you on Collector's Call last night, and I'm glad you didn't make that deal for the Munstermobile because, well, I knew you wouldn't make that deal. Anyway, boy, it all came out pretty good, too, the estimates and everything. Anyway, we're hoping we get a minute with you. Now it's your national TV star.
It's very loud.
if you can call the 248 number back if you get this, or same time tomorrow maybe, that'd be cool.
Miss all you, right? Mel.
Yeah, Mel, we want to talk to you, man. The cruise is coming up.
You mean same bat time?
Yeah, same bat phone station, number? Same bat number.
Thanks,
amen.
Mel.
See you, Mel.
All right. Should we try this?
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That sounded like his number, but I don't know. I mean, anything is possible with Mel.
It sounded like an
That's the beauty
machine.
Of Mel. Anything is possible with Mel. Who would think that guy would have the Monkeymobile?
Who would ever think we could rebuild our relationship?
It doesn't operate. It's just for looks.
That's true. Yeah, boy. Come on, Mel.
This might be his worst.
I think he's going to call us back. I think he's so into being back in the show.
I don't know. He's big time now.
He actually was second.
And thank you for calling Guthrie Lumber.
Nope. I think he was second guessing the whole issue. But no. Okay, so Maz.
I have some breaking news. Maz claims he's in the meeting. Do you guys see him on Zoom?
No. Does he see? That means he sees us.
I joined. I can't hear anything, though. Let me go to Zoom here.
Oh, no. This could be an all-day job.
He's not in the meeting.
Well, no, I think you would see him.
I mean, he's
pretty dumb sometimes.
He can't possibly see us, Kenny.
Let's see. This is hilarious. You're not in the meeting. What if he jumped into someone else's meeting?
Damn it. Someone else's meeting.
Some school board meeting.
I just realized I got to do the Facebook Live sponsor, which is Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water's everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwater, or there may just be a couple feet of it in the basement because of this damn rain. Storms over the weekend. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. God, water's a bitch. And Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you get rid of water permanently. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Or visit 877-JobDone.com. And don't forget, they're on top of the COVID thing. If you've got service vehicles or you've got a business and you've had creepy, shady people in there spreading COVID around, you need Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JobDone. And then things are getting wild. It's out Ford and Holly because the Broncos are there. Yes, we're talking the all-new Ford Bronco. Time to reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zot Ford. Go and follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco two-door or four-door. The hype is huge, and you want to get in there now. And they've got the Ford Promise. Buy or lease a newer pre-loved Ford vehicle. If you get, for whatever reason, you get furloughed or you get permanently unloaded in your first year of ownership, Ford will take your vehicle back. No penalty. And finally, they got the deals, the lease trifecta, the 2020 Ford EcoSport, the 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive, or the new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, your choice of the three. Each one as low as $166 a month. Go to dealsandindeed.com and look at all the wheels they've got. Ed Zott. So there. Okay, any luck with Maz?
Maz is claiming he entered that meeting number and password. It didn't work.
I thought he was in the meeting.
He has no idea what he's doing.
No, I know. This is really thrilling, isn't it?
Is it possible?
Did you send him the link or the actual number?
I sent him the number because I was doing Mel and everything. You want to send him the link? Can you send it?
Sure. Right.
Yeah, if he clicks the link, he can't. That can't. He can't miss, can he?
Can you send it to his... Can you text it to his phone?
Oh.
Oh.
No.
This is impossible. This is so impossible. I kind of want to get
We're not even in Facebook Live either. We can only see him. We're the only ones that'll see him. Although sound a little better.
No, I can get him on Facebook Live. I can get him on there. We're still rolling on there.
Okay.
If he ever connects. And this is my problem. I won't know when to cut bait on this. You'll have to tell me when this is just too much and to call him up.
I'm ready to cut bait now. But if he doesn't have the link yet.
He does have the link. I just sent it to him. I sent him the meeting number and everything.
But you just sent him the link, right? If he clicks on the link and something, that should be simple.
Easier. Yeah. Okay. What's wrong, Brandon?
There he is!
Maz!
Oh, my God!
He did it. Now he's connecting audio.
Maz looks so bummed.
This is wonderful.
Is he not seeing us?
No, he's connecting to audio. I think he sees us. I think he does. I'm shocked.
Maz looks like he's in another world today.
Asshole.
Let me get rid of our logo and sorry, Ursa.
Bullshit.
Actually,
can Maz hear us? Maz, nod if you can hear us.
Don't ask me.
Logo right there. That's a good spot for Ursa.
Wait, it's like his picture's there and nothing else.
I told you, I didn't know what's more fun, watching someone whose audio isn't working or listening to someone whose video's not working.
Oh, Tom's phone. Hi, Tom. Connecting.
Wave to that camera because he sees you on that camera.
He's waving. He's waving.
He's connecting to audio. It says you're connected to audio now. Can you hear us?
No, apparently not. Either that or doesn't know how to nod.
This is even better, though.
He looks so absolutely... Is he got a I Dream of Jeannie on in the background or something?
He's probably watching Batman behind us. Someone asked on Facebook, how has he not done Zoom yet? That's pretty amazing that he's made it this far into COVID and hasn't been able to...
Especially he's working at the high-tech new radio media, NRM.
Well, he's allowed to go
network.
In there.
It's a network. I mean...
Hey, there he is.
Whoa, Maz?
Yo.
I hear you now.
Hey!
All right, Maz!
Maz, all those 82% of people that said you weren't going to be able to figure it out, they can suck it, right?
I broke my cherry.
We did a quick Twitter poll, Maz, and 82% said you would not be able to work this out.
I'm glad it worked.
Aren't you kind of feeling in your face about those people on Twitter?
Nah, I don't
wise
care.
Guys? Okay.
I am. I'll take the victory lap for you.
Seems bullshit. Seems like a new mellower Maz. Are you starting to like Tom Brady?
No.
Okay. Good.
Never.
Blackbird?
Never.
Blackbird.
No. Blackbird still bores me.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple questions. Somebody called on the boner line and said that the police dog, St. Clair Shores, is it, Brandon?
Yes, Maz.
How many quid pro quos are involved in that?
I don't know if it's named after me, per se, but I kind of want it to be, so I'll just believe that it is.
I think we should call the St. Clair Shores police at some point.
Now, how come I can't see you guys?
What?
You can.
What am I doing wrong?
What do you mean? You can't see any of us?
In your phone? We should be in your phone.
I can't see any of you. I just see this.
How were you waving to me when I was waving to you?
I see you now, Brandon. I see you now. I see you.
Wait, you don't see, like...
No, I don't see anything. Now it just went off again.
Okay, you know what? So you have a different view on. You want the grid view on right now. Oh, there goes Tom. Just turned his camera off. Now he's back.
Nope, now he's back.
There it is.
So you can choose different views. You want? Do you have the grid view up?
I have it.
There
now.
You go.
I have
see?
It.
See? It's wonderful technology and stuff.
I got Mark and Drew on the top right. Technology I got Brandon and stuff. On the bottom right. And I got power chair on the left. I don't know what that is.
Rick Wilde would be proud of you.
Rick Wilde. Technology and stuff.
Technology and stuff. Yeah, I remember him.
Maz, some people are saying that they're shocked that you would not have had Zoom used at NRM.
No, they use some other video chat. I'm not sure what it's called.
StreamYard?
No. Isn't I Zoom, couldn't tell you.
Twitch?
Isn't Zoom the best one? I mean, everybody uses
sure
Zoom, I thought.
There's... Yeah.
Are they getting... now, Discord, I know, I realize probably. They were severely ailed by COVID-19 last time we talked to you. Are they starting to pick up the pieces now?
Yeah, a little bit, little by little, they're starting to put it back together again. But really? It's going to take a long time to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I can tell you that for sure.
How do you define putting it back together? What does that mean?
Having shows there, having people there, getting advertisers back involved, all of that kind of good stuff.
Hmm. I have so many questions, but I think I'll
I know.
Wait.
I'm saving it for off the air.
Okay, Maz, here's a huge question. Yesterday... there was huge breaking news on Saturday when the world found out that Wilford Brimley was still alive. Then there was breaking news on Sunday when it was learned that he died. And then I was surprised to find out he was on a Seinfeld episode.
He was. He was the postal manager or postal vice president. And they flew him in from his golf game to get Newman to get back to work and to have Kramer get his mail again.
Really? Was he good?
Yeah. He was great.
Okay. And then today I got a vicious email from somebody who was livid that Wilford Brimley was not on that Walker, Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
And it's, who is it? Somebody, Billingham? Noble Willingham, they said.
Same guy.
The one where Haley Joel Osment has AIDS. And that is just such a touching announcement when he points that out.
Barry did email us to correct us. Thank you, Barry.
Okay.
It still gave us an excuse to play that clip, so.
I love Big Will and The Firm. The Firm was one of my favorite episodes, favorite movies.
Wait, The Firm, what are we talking about here?
It's a Tom Cruise and The Firm.
Yeah. Oh, The Firm.
Wilford Brimley,
Brimley
was the, like the
oh, he's
big
a partner.
Security guy that was after him.
Oh, he was the, like a private eye.
Yeah, he worked for the company that agency.
Here's my favorite.
I need to watch that movie again because I like that movie.
I love it.
I like all Tom Cruise movies. I hate that I like them, but I do.
He picks good movies. My favorite piece of Wilford Brimley history or trivia is, how old was he when he did Cocoon?
He was like 50.
60?
He was 50 years old.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise today is 58 and he's jumping out of airplanes and stuff.
They said in the early 80s, Wilford Brimley started playing grandfatherly characters. He was 45 in 81.
He had the look, man. He had the diabetes.
That's true. Maz, okay, Aaron Judge, if the season ends tomorrow, does he get a home run championship? Does he win the home run title?
Yeah.
MVP.
On my fantasy team.
Did you see that home run last night in the eighth?
He blasted it. He did. And I'm wondering how many at-bats, if the season ends today, how many at-bats for the batting title? Do you need like 26 at-bats or something?
Yeah. I would think at least 30. At least 30 ABs.
Now, we lost a friend of yours. I was confused when I texted Maz earlier today. I was like, Maz, are you doing a show on Jamie Samuelson? And he's like, no. And I thought, oh, was he and Jamie on the outs or something? And then you came back and said you're gonna talk about him tomorrow. You and Terry are doing a show?
Okay. With Terry, yeah. Terry Foster and I will do something for him.
But I guess you called him Jam Sam, didn't you? As I remember?
Of course. Of course I did. I mean, couldn't get a nicer guy to work with. Just, this, you know, you read everything about him. That column by Woj was
really good. Oh, that was
really good.
Sad.
I can't believe. I didn't know he was that sick. You know, when you hear someone has colon cancer, and then you're like, okay, he's got it, but I think he's got it under control. And then he passes away 5 days later.
I didn't realize.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I didn't realize that it was when he was diagnosed, it was stage 4.
I know. At 46. And yet, you know, this is what's, you know, interesting about medicine and when my brother was talking about COVID-19 and he was talking about the human cost, you know, how it's measured versus the cost of medicine. He actually brought up colonoscopies. Said, you know, if you just really wanted to make sure nobody got colon cancer, you'd have everybody getting colonoscopies from the age of 25 every year, or age 30, or I forgot what age he said. But the fact is, because so few people get it earlier, they don't say you need to do it until you're 50 or 55.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend the money. Because it's not a good investment for medicine.
That's awful.
Jamie, 46. You would just think he'd beat that because he's a healthy guy. He lives a healthy lifestyle. He seems like, I mean, healthy in every way.
Every way. No smoking, no nothing.
Active.
It's a sin, man. It's a sin.
No,
I've had a couple already. I'm having another one at the end of the month. So, you know,
does the doctor do them?
Keep checking the pipes.
Does the doctor do them, or do you just find someone on the streets?
No, Dr. Taylor. He's the man.
He's the man. I don't know if I like complimenting a doctor when they're doing that.
Hey. All right, sir, I just need to check inside your asshole.
Dr. Taylor, your hands are very warm. Thank you for
sound
that.
Too good.
I don't know what these other five people are doing in here.
Every time I think of a colonoscopy, every time I think of a digital exam, I think of Fletch.
You know? Moon River.
Moon River.
Well, the big screen thing at the Tiger game yesterday, it was really cool of the Tigers to do that. All the teams tweeted about him. A lot of people, Jim Harbaugh tweeted about him, and
they contacted him too. You know,
yeah.
That's what Woj said. I didn't know that.
They had Patricia on today. I read.
Yeah,
they had Patricia
I listened to that. I listened to because they had their crossover with Doggone. I mean that. Yeah. I mean, for Stoney to do that today, that's hard.
It's really hard.
To do.
Maz, the XFL has been purchased by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He spent $15 million. I don't really know what he gets, but what does he get for $15 million? That's the leagues in bankruptcy.
Hard ownership. I guess he gets the team names, I guess. I have no idea. What do you get for $15 million?
I would just say, you know what? I'll just take it for a dollar, and I'll come up with my own team names. What are the team names worth? Is that worth anything?
They still owe me money, by the way, the XFL.
They owe you money?
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, why? Because
I ordered a football, and then they went out of business 2 weeks later, never got the football, and never got a call back from them. My money has been spent already.
You know,
was it this year?
Yeah.
Really? You ordered a ball?
I can't get a hold of them either. They're impossible to get a hold
of. Someone made that ball. I mean, that ball's been made.
Yeah. It's, I think somewhere. we should call
XFL
them.
XFL shop. You guys should check it out.
XFLshop.com. Email me.
Try to get my money back.
XFL shop.
Email me your confirmation.
.com.
I will.
Email.
I'll get in my order.
That could be really funny to track down.
That's hilarious. I can't believe you ordered a ball.
Why did you want an XFL football?
Why are people so?
I love that football. That football was so cool.
Some people were so geeked about the XFL.
I wound up getting one on eBay. Want me to go get it and show it to you?
Yeah, I would like to see it.
Oh my god!
Okay, I would like to see what you were so excited about.
I kind of want to.
It's gotta be cool.
Just take the phone with you. Yeah.
I'll walk.
Take it to the weakest part of your Wi-Fi in your house too, so it'll break up.
By the way, I just want to say this. If I own stock in Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I would sell it all right now.
Really?
He's just spent $15 million buying the XFL. He can't be a good investor.
Remember, the XFL still has the copyright to Saturday Night Football, which they will not allow the NFL to use.
Come on.
Oh, that looks ridiculous. That looks wonderful.
Oh, well, that is kind of cool, I got to say.
It's a football.
That's the Defenders?
Yeah, that was the one they had.
Stupid present.
Who were the Defenders? I don't remember.
Washington Defenders.
Did they play, what, six games or five games?
Oh, there's Batman. I forget how many.
All right, go back to those photos on the wall.
Maz was showing us a lot of stuff that we didn't ask for, but I was excited.
Yeah, no, I'm
Here's
kind of
a nice piece of shit.
Kind of intrigued now about the tour.
What do you want?
Oh, there's the Lions seats.
Yeah, those are my Silverdome seats.
Are we in the basement?
Here's a nice piece of shit.
In my office upstairs.
Oh, I wouldn't think Kathy would allow those Lions seats upstairs. Kind of surprised.
She lets me. Here's the Tiger Stadium.
How much time do you spend in that office?
Well, that's a big office.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Look at this.
This is for the colonoscopy.
Good.
It's under one of these Tiger seats.
Oh, we got this shit shelf here.
Oh, I like the Steelers helmet you got there.
That was the Steelers helmet that for Super Bowl
40. Here's a nice piece of shit.
And that's the helmet
that's
Super
a Detroit
40.
Super Bowl, yeah. What is the other little helmet? Oh, Spartan
helmet?
Why do you have a
Spartans helmet? I'm kind of surprised.
Well, I got a Spartan next to the Bunyan. And then I got Michigan, of course, with
my God.
Lloyd and Bo's autograph.
What? Bo's canceled.
Wow. Where'd you get all of
these? Helmets up here.
Maz, wait. You have a little brown jug replica?
Yeah, I do, too.
So do I. I do three.
Remember, we got them really at 105
once. Yeah.
That's the worst rivalry in the history of sports. Michigan
nice
always wins.
Shit.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. When's the last time Minnesota won that game?
Probably pretty recently.
Let's look.
Probably in Rich Rod's era.
Oh, that's possible.
2014?
That's a good rivalry. Don't forget, remember that
time?
That
is not a good rivalry. Well, Michigan always wins.
Until Chip Lowmiller breaks your heart. Or Marion Barber III. And Marion Barber III. No, it wasn't him. It was another guy, the other running back.
Started with a B2, I think, didn't it?
I can't remember.
Who's that dude?
Maz's office is huge. He must have a lot of business that I'm not aware of.
So, Maz, you have a shelf of NFL mini helmets. Do you constantly rearrange them by the order, the standings?
This was the order of last year.
Yeah.
And I move them every week.
I used to do that, too, when I was 12. I'm serious. I did. I loved it.
Because the AFC.
Wow. Maz, I got to hand it to you. That is really cool. All those little mini helmets. Wow.
These are the ones I love the most. The
throwbacks, the old Patriot with the center Broncos, snapping the ball, the Broncos, the Oilers, the light
non-racist Redskins one, formerly Redskins
the
one.
Yellow helmets. I see Billy Kilmer right now. I just see it on Billy Kilmer. Doug
Best
Williams.
Ever right here.
Yeah. Tampa Bay. You know who gets to wear that now? Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
And there's USFLs up here.
No one cares about that.
Maz, can we see to the pool out that back window?
Yeah, sure. I'll take you to the back window.
Oh, cool. I've never been in Maz's house before.
I know,
before.
Me
this
neither.
Is fun.
Thanks for never inviting us.
Are we still on Facebook Live?
Your house sucks.
Oh, that's a nice
house. Hey, is that a Florida room, Maz?
Yeah, it's a nice Florida
that's
room.
That's really cool, man. Can I come over and work out?
Yeah.
In the Florida room?
In the yard.
Wasn't there some workout stuff in
the
Florida room?
Well, you can do a couple laps. A tiki torch?
Well,
must be nice having a pool.
No, that's where that I-75 sign would be, right against the garage.
There's my lion.
That's nice. Very nice landscaping. How much weeding have you done recently?
I got the girls doing it.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. You know, it's pretty nice. I like that.
Ryan on Facebook Live said, wow, nice pad for a guy who barely works. Hey, that's
what?
A cheap shot, Ryan.
Oh, I got trampoline. A shot.
Oh, you got a trampoline, too?
Get on it. Do some bounces. Come on.
I'm good.
No, come on, get on it. Do a couple flips.
This is the Milk River.
Maz, does somebody need to plant some grass?
They need to water it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting too far away from the
Uh-oh.
Wi-Fi now.
Uh-oh.
That's the end of it. He either went too far from the Wi-Fi or he fell in the river.
Oh, no, it's
I gotta
again.
I got to go back. Yeah, I'm losing the Wi-Fi. I'm going back.
Wow, that was an exciting tour.
It's just like my old pool, Tommy.
Where does he live in? Are you living in...
I'm in the shores.
Oh, excuse us.
I like that crib, Maz.
Oh, yeah.
I like our little palm tree.
Very nice.
That's Very Abby's nice. Palm tree.
It's festive.
Nice patio. Did you guys put in a lot of this stuff in this house?
Yes, we did.
You did?
We did.
Come on, let's climb
Jeter,
the tree.
Jeter, say hi.
Oh, Jeter.
Wow.
Oh, Cheater. Is Jeter happy to be home? Would he
Who
never?
Who gives a fuck?
Will Jeter ever run away again?
A beautiful dog.
I'm sure he will. He always tries.
A talented dog.
Oh, man. So, you don't think that you think The Rock will be a good commissioner for the XFL?
God, yeah. Have you ever seen Ballers, for crying out loud?
Wasn't he a failure with Ballers?
No.
When he bought the team?
End, it all came together at the end. He was the Kansas City Chiefs owner. You remember?
I didn't even bother finishing that series because it became...
I loved it.
It was okay. It was cute. And then it turned into like, I remember how Entourage was kind of cool in the beginning. And then God, it got really
stupid. Fall off. Yeah. The movie was terrible too.
I still enjoyed it to the end.
I watched it. I did watch the bitter end and I saw the movie.
You know what show I just watched on Netflix?
What?
Hollywood. Have you seen Hollywood?
Wait, what's it about? It's a multi-part thing, isn't it?
It's really gay, isn't it?
It's very gay.
It's a 7-part, very gay, happy series.
It's
very gay.
It's loosely based on Rock Hudson, right?
Yeah, he's part of it. Rock Hudson is part of it.
Yeah. Do they use the name Rock Hudson?
They do. They rename him. His name is like Roy something.
Oh, Roy Fitzgerald. Was his name when he was at New Trier East High School, where I went. He was Roy Fitzgerald.
Say goodbye to Facebook Live.
Bye, Facebook Live.
Bye, Facebook.
No, you're not gone, Maz. You stay here. So Maz, what can you comment on the beginning of the NBA, the NHL, and MLB? Are you enjoying it? Do you think it's being done well? Comments.
Well, at first with baseball, I wasn't enjoying it. I was bored. I couldn't get into the games. I like the fans at the games. You know, I'm one of them. I think the fans make the game, obviously. And,
well, why don't they pay the fans then?
Pardon?
They should pay the fans then, if the fans make the game.
The fans should definitely get in for a lot less now. I mean, people should be looking at this and saying, we should treat the fans a little bit better. I mean, look at this product without the fans.
Okay, what about hockey?
I'm enjoying watching the Yankees. The Tigers are good. You know, they're playing over their head right now. I wish they would have beaten Castellanos.
I know. That was too bad.
Did you see him make a fool of himself in right field?
Yeah, that was really bad.
At least the Tigers have a few days off now, so that's nice.
I know. Now they have to cancel that against the Cardinals. Who knows how long this is going to go? But catch a good game, it's not bad. So I'll move on to hockey. I watched a couple
of hockey
games.
Hang on, because we haven't talked about the Tigers.
Hold on. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that 17 or 13 players.
Seven players, six coaches.
Okay, for the Cards?
For the Cardinals have tested positive.
Yeah, the Cardinals tested positive. 7, 13 altogether.
So we just lost a series, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll make it up with a triple header someday of 4 innings each.
How can they make these games up?
Play 4 innings, that triple header.
That's ridiculous.
It's a third inning stretch.
Honestly, is that more ridiculous having, say, a triple header with 3 innings?
No, it's not that
each?
Much more ridiculous.
Is that more ridiculous or the fact that every team is going to play a different amount of games?
No, it's not more ridiculous.
Mark, I love that idea.
It's just so ludicrous.
It's becoming a joke, isn't it? Isn't it getting embarrassing?
Should we be playing any sport right now? Probably not.
No. I feel like the longer this goes on, the more a joke it's going to be. Like if they quit after 20 games and you know all these canceled games and all these players opting out and then they go, oh, we just can't do it. I think it's going to be worse. And
Yoenis Cespedes, what he did to the Mets yesterday?
That's awesome. That's what you would do. That's what you would do, Tom. You would just leave.
Yeah, he just doesn't show up, and then they acted like he was dead.
Okay, bye.
And then they find out that he's opted out, but he just didn't tell anyone. Except
he didn't like the money he was getting. That was the final reason that he left.
Oh, really?
I think he felt that it was incentive based. He needed to have X amount of at bats, X amount of this that, and he decided that his playing time was already being affected early on, and he just said, see ya.
What? Wait.
He led the league in strikeouts, I think. Oof. He struck out more than half his at-bats.
Oh.
I'm totally confused. Are you telling me that he was pissed about the money being prorated?
Yes.
So he just figures, I'm not going to play for that paltry amount.
Yep. That's why he quit.
Oh, and he couldn't make his incentives.
Because of COVID. But he really quit because of the money.
Wow, he's really a flaming ass. I mean, I've never known him to be a flaming ass, but he sounds like one.
Remember when he was on Mount Crushmore with the Tigers?
Oh,
Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, and Prince Fielder.
We got one of those shirts, I think, floating around somewhere.
Drew loved it. But it was only relevant for about 6 months.
He played really well here.
He's a good player.
He is.
Did we get Fulmer for him? Is that who we got in that trade?
Did we?
I forget. We've traded so many away. Yeah, right. I lost track.
We traded Porcello for him, and who did we? I don't know.
Okay, Maz, hockey, NHL.
Yeah.
Your
it's
thoughts?
Going well. Right now, they're playing those little best of threes, best of fives, I mean, best of five series
yep.
to pare down. And, you know, it's just okay. It's just okay. Rangers are down 2-0. They were supposed to be a heavy favorite coming in. And the Carolina has got them down 2-0. A couple other. This game's going on right now.
Do you know the NHL ratings are basically what they were before COVID?
I believe they're probably zero.
I was shocked to see that. I mean, I would think anything coming back would be desirous. Like basketball, you know, the first game with LeBron had 4 million people watching. It was one of the higher rated regular season games in a long time. And baseball had 4 million for the Nats and the Yankees, which was the highest regular season audience since 2011.
Wow. Yeah, they were hungry. They were hungry to watch it.
Now they're coming back to earth.
NBA looks like they've got the best situation going right now. I'd love to see the Lakers lose, but, you know, they're playing these 8 games now. It's just like practice games. So that Toronto game the other night was really good. Toronto knocked them off. It was a fun game to watch.
Okay, Maz, I got a few trivia questions for you about I Dream of Jeannie. Is that a show in your wheelhouse? Is it in your wheelhouse?
I love I Dream of Jeannie
okay,
and
I thought
Bewitched.
So. Number one, let's see, fun facts about I Dream of Jeannie. The first few episodes were different than any other episodes because of what?
They were in black and white.
That's a great answer because it was the last show filmed in black and white, the first season. Yep. But also, Jeannie was pregnant for the first few episodes, Barbara Eden.
What?
Yeah.
You would never
that know. Is correct.
There's another part of the show that did not exist in season one that might surprise a lot of I Dream of Jeannie fans.
Was it The Air Force base? Did they not go to Dr. Bellows or someone like that?
That's a great answer. No, no. There was no theme song the first year.
Oh, my. That's right.
Isn't
it was
that
different.
Wild? Oh, was it different?
Different?
Really?
It was a cool song, actually.
Huh. No, it wasn't.
Who gives a fuck?
Brandon, can you find the original I Dream of Jeannie theme song?
It's great.
Maybe Maddie could hum it for us.
You'll see a cartoon caricature of the Apollo landing on a beach.
Oh.
Then he walks over to this bottle, he opens it up and pops up Jeannie, but it's all cartoon.
Wow, I sure remember that.
That's the only opener I remember of it.
No, you'll see it. It's much different. It's much different than later on.
What part of Jeannie were they not allowed to show?
I don't think they were able to show her belly button.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or her tits.
No, they couldn't show her tits.
They tried.
She had great tits.
They tried.
Between her and Elizabeth Montgomery, I don't know who I whacked it more to.
Well, that's a Twitter
Montgomery,
poll. That's a Twitter poll right there.
That's a great question.
Who did Tom whack it off more to, Elizabeth Montgomery?
Elizabeth Montgomery, I believe, didn't she show her boobs
Barbara
in a movie?
Barbara Eden.
Once upon a time, in a mythical place called Cape Kennedy, an astronaut named Tony Nelson went up on a space
needed a
mission.
New liver.
The missile went up, but something went wrong, and they had to bring it down. Captain Nelson landed on an island in the South Pacific, where he found a bottle.
Hey, this
at
is black and white.
It looked like a bottle, it's but it didn't to. Act like a bottle. Because in it was a genie. Oh, not your average everyday genie, but a Ooh. Beautiful genie.
Oh, she pretty.
Who could grant Slut. Any wish.
Wow.
God,
she is. Okay, young guys, do you think she's really hot?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I thought she was attractive.
Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's smoking. Also, here's one more fun fact, Maz. How did Larry Hagman find out that the series was canceled?
I haven't got a clue.
From the studio guard when he drove up.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Ouch.
One other fun fact is that Larry Hagman was wasted during every episode, but he was wasted during everything then.
Well, that's the thing. They probably did tell him.
I actually added that one.
They probably did tell him, and you know, the first one he remembered was in the studio guard.
Any more brain busters?
Hey, Maz, I think you got
Hagman bounced back big in the 80s, right?
He
with
did.
Dallas.
Yeah, he was huge on Dallas.
And two livers.
Yeah, then he got the extra liver, and then he lasted a long time, really. He was quite a partier. He tripped with Keith Moon. Remember he told that story?
That's right.
Maz, that was the one with the animation and the rocket. That, wasn't that the color theme song that was for 4 years? And it was that black and white one we just saw that was the 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought it was a black and white cartoon one, but I was wrong.
Okay. But you're confident about Wilford Brimley?
I'm totally confident about it.
All right. And what's on the wrap with Maz tomorrow?
Well, we're going to see what's going on with baseball, see if it's still being played, go over some of the series, and maybe try to have one of the Tigers on tomorrow. We've already put in a request to see if we can get somebody on tomorrow.
Really?
How about Tyler Alexander?
Absolutely. 9 Ks in a row. He looked
Tommy, you want me to give you Nick Cassianos' phone number and you can just cold call him?
I have that.
Give us his number, Brandon.
You want to cold call him?
Why not?
Let's get him on right now.
He likes to talk.
Does he?
Oh yeah. We can call him.
What, you guys used to call him on 105.1?
Yeah.
Maz, it sounds like maybe you're still kind of formulating the show tomorrow.
I always do. I don't come up with the show right away. Think
about it. You got games tonight you got to talk about tomorrow.
That's true. You believe in last minute, that sometimes your mind works better at the last minute?
It always works great. On the day of a show is when I get the best ideas.
Wow. I like that. I like that
Back
style.
Back in the day, that was the way I did things. And it worked.
That's true. You like booking people at the last minute.
I do.
Yeah.
Whatever's the hot story, I think that's what you should go for.
Okay, Maz. Thanks for joining us today. And now we got the Zoom.
My first Zoom.
Yeah, you got the Zoom all figured out for future reference.
It's not bad, huh?
If you guys want to carry this over to NRM, you feel welcome to do it based on our training.
Thanks for the tip.
Okay, Maz. We'll see you.
Stay safe.
Thomas A. Mazaway signing off.
Thanks for the tip.
Maz, we have Nick Castellanos' number?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had it since sports radio days.
What other numbers do we have?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, dude, I got a ton of them, to tell you the truth. Yeah. Remember that one time when I was playing?
Tell us.
I was playing wiffle ball at like 2 a.m, and somehow I butt dialed Barry Melrose, who was in my contacts for 105.1, and I left a 15-minute drunken message.
I probably appreciated that though.
And to tell you the truth, man, I'm actually collecting quite a bit of numbers from these guys from No Filter, because they've been having
a ton
of
them. Ooh. Don't let them know. Good going.
Today's guest, Jim Brandstatter.
Yeah, and I know,
causing some problems within the Red Shovel Network.
I don't know why. Yeah, there could be. You're right, if we start calling these people.
I meant Brandy.
Well, I guess it's Brandy's job to object to anything. This is what,
is it,
what
though?
I've never seen anywhere where it is so hard to say anything negative about something like Michigan football, because this whole cult just descends on you when you do it. And Sean Windsor wrote a story the other day, and I thought the story was I didn't find anything controversial whatsoever about the story, but apparently Brandy didn't like it.
It was very fair.
Because he didn't quote the actual person that said.
Yeah, because it was a John Doe who finally brought up Bo. But you talk to anybody from that time, and everyone knew.
There's 394 people that are suing. And actually, I think they've gone really easy on Bo at this point. And Brian Berryman played baseball there from 96 to 98. I told you before the show. And he told me a while ago, and I asked him recently again, because he emails in and such. I said, Brian, is this one of these things that was just sort of quietly going around? And it was like, no, it was not quiet. It was something that everyone joked about and talked about, and the nickname was known by everyone. It was a thing. And for Bo Schembechler to be that sort of lackadaisical just doesn't sound like Bo Schembechler.
Not at all. No. And he was powerful enough. If he wanted to replace him, he could have replaced him.
And he was fired by the university before he ever worked for football.
Yep.
For sexually assaulting guys
who were
gay, typically, and guys that want to get out of Vietnam, too.
And as Windsor points out, Bo did become the athletic director, so he could have fired him himself then.
Oh, yeah.
But he chose not to.
Well, and Don Canham just apparently blew it off. In fact, I got to tell you, I'm really amazed. And I think it shows something that Eli talks about a lot, which is that people always, their first instinct is to protect the institution. And I never heard it quite stated that way, but the more these things go on, the more I agree with them. People do. They always try to protect the institution. And in fact, the institution is paying these people back because Michigan has not fired or canceled anyone.
You mean over this? No.
Yeah, they haven't taken any action at all.
There's one person who was working then that's still there now, and that's the associate athletic director. I can't remember his name.
But Ward Manuel did not report it the way it was supposed to be reported.
Sure.
In 2018, after Penn State, after Michigan State, after USC, Schlissel knew about it for 18 months, and nothing was done until the guy said, you know what, they're stalling me. They're blowing me off. I'm calling the Detroit News.
Well, just out of, I don't remember. What were they supposed to do that they didn't do? Ward and Schlissel.
Ask if anyone else had been victimized by him was what this guy felt they should do. He felt that he wasn't alone. He knew there were other victims. I just wondered
if they were supposed to. I didn't know what they were supposed to. You know.
Oh, they gave some bullshit thing. Like, oh, we're completing an investigation.
Okay.
18 months later. But Tony Paul would know because he called. Wasn't Tony Paul that he called?
No,
I think it was Detroit News. Wasn't
it was the Detroit News. I don't know if Tony was the original reporter or not.
Yeah.
Tony has written on it since.
Okay. Anyway, today, the story came out about Martin Filbert. Or no, it was actually yesterday. I guess I saw it today. Somebody, a couple of people sent it to me. And this one is just right along with all the others. It's almost like Michigan's got its Nassar in Dr. Anderson, and now they've got, who's that professor or the dean that was,
I don't remember.
The asshole that collected the nude photos and made all the
recon? Dean Strample?
Yeah. Martin Filbert, he was promoted four times at Michigan. They made a settlement with someone in 2005 over sexual harassment or someone who felt that, I never exactly understood that case, but it was serious enough to merit a settlement. He still got promoted. And then there were many allegations that were reported. In fact, I couldn't even get through the story. There was so much going on. Mary Sue Coleman was made aware of multiple complaints as this report just came out from the independent law firm, as was Philip Hanlon, Filbert's predecessor. So he replaced a guy who knew what he'd been doing. Now, Schlissel claims, oh, I didn't know anything. I knew nothing except for this settlement in 2005, and I looked at it and I was like, not a big deal. That shouldn't preclude him being promoted. Now, it's really hard to believe that Mary Sue Coleman knew, the previous provost knew, and somehow Schlissel doesn't know any of this. It sounds very Mary Sue Coleman-esque. Or no, it sounds very Lou Simon-esque. Since provost, he told three women, since he became provost, he told three women he wanted to see below their tan lines. I guess that must be his big move. He told another he was aching for her and they could make beautiful coffee-colored babies. He was known for making off-color, like, stupid jokes, sexual remarks to people.
Yeah.
He was very persistent, according to the people that complained about him, texted women frequently, also tried to get women to travel with him. And while he was provost, think about this. He was in multiple sexual relationships with university employees during his entire tenure as provost, at least two sexual relationships at all times, and at other times, more than two.
Mm-hmm.
He was also having sex with women in UM offices, one woman every day. Mm-hmm. And
he had them send nude photos too, which he kept on his university-owned devices.
Yes. And honestly, that's like I got maybe one-third of the way through the story. And I don't, the other stuff,
That's most of it. I mean, there's the other ones, the other allegations, the research assistant that claims that he chose someone else over him.
Yeah.
Another proposition for sex.
No, it just goes on and on. And then
the guy's a total fucking creep.
There were, I think it was the previous promotion before he was provost where someone wanted more attention paid to some of this activity, and they were basically told to shut the fuck up. So a lot of people knew. A lot of people didn't say anything or do anything. And I just am amazed that all these people are still standing. No one is taking any responsibility for any of this. And, you know, for us, Michigan has been very, you know, every time they always say the right thing. As soon as they knew, I suspended him with pay. And then I think he fired him as soon as the investigation hadn't been going more than a week. And he goes, he's blown out. This is terrible. And he was paid until June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And did he get his retirement?
You know what? I don't know. It doesn't say. He was making $570,000 a year.
And the guy, was it, who was the guy in the music department? Is he the dean or is he
I think he was just a professor.
He was boo-fooing students for decades. Yeah. And that was another one where they say, oh, yeah, people knew about that. But it's just weird. It doesn't seem to matter how many times this happens or how many schools or what school. It just, people just act the same way. They don't want to do anything. So anyway, I don't know. The provost himself, Martin Filbert, he would not speak to the investigator. So he didn't say anything. He's just like, ah, fuck, I'm done. I'm not going to talk about it.
Total creep.
Yeah. I guess it's, maybe I appreciate him not talking about it than saying that none of it happened.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to believe it anyway.
And honestly,
is he criminally charged with anything or is none of that?
No, I don't
think that illegal. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he should have been blown out a long time. Well, I'm just curious how that works.
I punched on some of the previous
I guess those relationships are consensual. I mean, if you're getting it on in your office.
Well, not to the people that said that he hit on them relentlessly. Not so much.
Yeah,
and
there
were some previous articles I punched up, and there's some pretty squirrely stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. I don't think people felt they could do anything about it because he was too powerful. And
I hear that all the time, yeah.
So anyway, on that topic, I was reading more about the Brian Callen story today, the fighter and the kid. And I don't think we talked about Amy Schumer yesterday, did we?
No.
Amy Schumer, if you Google Amy Schumer, you're going to see article after article about her saying that she supports these brave women.
I'm shocked.
And, that's all fine and good, but I think it's kind of bullshit because, first of all, it seems like it's a big attention-getting thing for her, and I don't really know. I don't understand.
If he didn't do anything to her,
then why does she believe the woman right away or say these women are brave? Two of them are saying he said certain things. One of them is saying that he tried to kiss her, and she didn't want to kiss him. And there's a girl that says he raped her in 1999.
And then there was the four-year affair. It seemed like a consensual affair. That was a really weird one.
And she's one of the ones that said he said something weird. And that's why she's in the story, because she said that he thought all girls have rape fantasies.
Yeah.
But those are words he said to her and no one else that we know of. And we don't even know that he said that. And I don't know if he addressed that. He did say that all of this is false. And
yeah, he responded.
Well, Mark,
weren't you playing a clip
of him?
Yeah, he has a post on Instagram.
Well, where'd that podcast go?
I don't know.
It was supposed to be published on Saturday night. I think it might have been published briefly, but taken down just because of the comments. Because the comments I was seeing underneath all of his posts were, how come you took the last episode down? And that could be just because, legal stuff, legal proceedings, and maybe, he's not allowed to post stuff like
that. Brian Kelly here. You know, when you're in a situation like I am, you get a lot of advice from a lot of different people. And it usually falls into two different categories. Either they tell you to post a statement and disappear, or they say, lay low and let the news cycle pass you by. Well, for better or for worse, I'm not doing any of that. I never thought in a million years that I'd be sitting here defending myself against something I did not do 21 years ago. So this is me saying that I categorically and absolutely deny all the allegations against me. I wanted you to see me say that. I didn't want to post some stale statement. I wanted you to hear that come out of my mouth. I have been characterized as someone that no one who knows me, not my friends, not my family, not my fans, would ever recognize. And that's because that's not who I am. That is not what I, that's not something I could do. Those are things, not never the things that I couldn't do. Those are not things that I would ever do. That is not how I have
Thanks
ever
you, Brian.
Lived in my life.
Thank you, Brian.
We get it. You didn't do it. Okay, great.
Amy Schumer also said something about that you are saving the people that come after you, which didn't even make sense because this alleged rape was in 1999. So that was 21 years ago. And I just really want to know why she was so smug about this, because she ended her post sarcastically wishing Brian Callen to have a nice day. And she also said, and I don't know if this is anticipating
What exactly did she say? What do you mean? So she just
said, "Have a nice day, Brian."
That's all she said.
Yeah. And then she said,
"I'm in between sizes."
Then she also said, "To all the comics who are annoyed with me for standing with these ladies, what are you so afraid of?"
Who's saying that?
Amy Schumer.
No, I know, but who's coming after her?
I don't think it hadn't even come out yet. It was part of the original post. But she's probably right. I bet a lot of people are annoyed that she's opening her trap up for this. But if she knows something, why isn't she saying it? I don't understand this business of standing with somebody when you don't know anything. Now, if this is a guy who had, I mean, if this is a bunch of, well, four accusations seems like a lot, except as we talked about, two of them are not really in the same category.
Not at all. No. That's what we were talking about yesterday.
And if you were going to use something as thin as the two that they used, two of the four, I would think you'd get a lot more. I mean, I think you could probably.
Maybe not. It just started, so you never know.
I have not heard anything since. But it's like this. It's sort of like she's making this preemptive thing. To any of you comics who are annoyed with me for standing with these ladies, what are you so afraid of? I mean, it sounds like she's trying to say that all these guys are doing the same thing that he did.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe they are. I doubt it.
Hmm. Maybe she, does she know him? Does she know anything?
I would think she would know him, but shouldn't she say something, though? If she knows, she's saying how brave these women are, so if she has something to say.
What did she say about that Chris D'Elia guy when he came out?
I didn't hear anything about that. I don't know. Did she say something?
Well, I would think so. I mean, she seems to, you know, say whatever she wants.
It really seemed like she has something against Brian Callen, the whole have a nice day thing.
Well, then maybe she knows something.
That's obviously very... Well, yeah, then you know, why doesn't she say it?
I just read her post. She wrote, "Have a nice day," just basically to tag him in her post, which I'm sure he really gives a shit about.
Oh, I think it's totally sarcastic, though.
No, it is.
And when it comes to D'Elia, Schumer did come out when that happened. She said, "Brave women coming forward about the mistreatment they have experienced at the hands of comedians or in any other profession. Especially the ones who weren't legal age to consent. There are great men out there, and there are men who humiliate and abuse women and girls because of a power dynamic. Whatever your reasoning is or was, we are watching you."
So. Oh, I see. So is she a DA now, or is she just the police woman for the comedy community?
Well, D'Elia seemed way worse than this guy. I mean, aside from the rape, if it's true.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, Brian Callen to me comes down to, there's really one horrific thing there. The other ones you could debate. I mean, you could honestly debate them.
Mm-hmm.
The one story I didn't understand at all, which was about the girl they started having sex with, and then she's like, this sucks.
That's the rape one. Yeah.
Oh, that's that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think I would have said anything. But that just didn't. I don't know what. When someone accuses you of rape, I don't know what you. What are you supposed to say?
I guess
he thinks that explanation is sufficient, that they started having sex and she said, "I'm not into this," and they stopped.
If he thought it was consensual, he'd say it was consensual because they were friends.
He went on to say that they've been friends ever since and that he did a favor for her recently. She thanked him. And, I mean, this is over a long, long period of time. I mean, Do either of you guys have the comments he made about that particular case? Because I thought that was
strange. He said she tried out to play his wife on a show, and he's like, "That's not what rape victims do," which is kind of an odd thing to say. You know,
I would not think if he raped her, she would want to be his wife on a TV show 6 years later. I wouldn't think.
According to the LA Times, though, she did tell her boyfriend at the time. I don't know what that's worth.
Well, that's the thing. Everything that we've been told about Me Too is believe all women. Just believe all women.
I think you listen to them.
No matter. Well, sure. But believe all women. That's like saying believe all men. I mean, would you ever say believe all men?
No.
No. I mean, I wouldn't say believe all women either.
People realize how ridiculous that phrase is.
But that phrase lived for months.
Sure.
And you couldn't even disagree with it. You couldn't even say pinching someone on the ass was different from, you know, raping someone.
Ask Matt Damon how that worked out.
And you know, I'm noticing the same phenomenon about some other things. And let me see. I know.
Matt Damon.
When people want to point out, for example, that they don't like the destruction and the vandalism and the rioting and the looting, they always feel they have to say, and I'm all for peaceful protesting and I'm a big fan of BLM, but I don't like this other bullshit. I mean, it's almost like they have to qualify it and they have to apologize and say that, you know, I'm in almost total compliance with you guys. I just don't like this stuff. And I know it has nothing to do with you. And the same thing with every guy accused of Me Too has to say, I agree with the Me Too movement, and I believe you should believe all women, and but this is bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why do people seem to feel now? There seems to be almost a bullying mob where if you don't comply or agree with everything about Me Too, everything about Black Lives Matter, then you are, I mean, even if you're somewhere in between.
Isn't that the Twitter mob, though? Isn't that just generally the Twitter mob?
But the Twitter mob becomes the media mob because the media will do a story about the Twitter mob.
Have they?
I mean, they'll say, oh, so-and-so is trending on Twitter because of blah, blah, blah. Look at all the stories about Amy Schumer. Just Google Amy Schumer, Brian Callen, and you will see multiple stories about it.
Well, yeah, the story's going to be about her response.
Right.
Yeah, that's really all.
I mean, is that really fair to him, though? I mean,
well, maybe Joe Rogan should respond then. I guess I don't know.
No, you can't be a guy. You can, if you're a guy, I stand with Brian Callen. You can't do that.
Basically he's guilty until proven innocent. So
yeah, and this, I just don't know about this whole Me Too and the way this is done. And this one started in the LA Times, didn't start on Twitter.
Now here's Deadline stories that he denies the misconduct allegations, and Amy Schumer responds. So
I don't know why Amy Schumer belongs. It just seems to me that you could have 20 women say, I stand with women, these brave women, and you got this one guy, and nobody, say, I stand with Brian Callen, you're kind of fucked.
Well, the problem is nobody will bother reading the whole story, and they'll just see that he was accused, and therefore, you know, they'll take him as being guilty. But if, you know, because remember, Brandon, yesterday when that story...
He was accused, not charged.
When that story first came out, and you were on Zoom, and I said, uh-oh, trouble for Brian Callen. But then as we read through it, it's like, well, this isn't really as it seems. These are accusations. There's the one that seems pretty bad.
Well, I mean, just looking at it at first, you think, oh, my God, he raped 4 women. This guy is toast.
But how many people are going to read the whole story?
And then as you break it down, one of them was a kiss that she didn't want in a dressing room, and one of them was... You know, who knows?
Shitty comment.
Two comments he made. Give me a beejer.
And the other was a 4-year. You know,
but this thing he said about, you know, I control stage time. If you blow me, I'll give you a stage time. Do we even know that he was in a position to give people stage time? I mean, how much do we know about that story? I mean, she says he said it. She didn't say she blew him.
It's gonna be a headline that says Drew Lane supports Brian Callen.
No, I don't support anyone. I really don't. You know
what? You don't support anyone?
Well, no.
Why do you hate? Fill in the blank.
When you break down this story is a he said, she said.
Of course.
It's not a they said, they said, he said. You've got 3 other people who are kind of, I just don't even like the, it's almost like.
Sexual harassment, misconduct charges are he said, she said. Delia got fucked because he had all the screenshots of his conversations with the
I think that's a completely different story.
It absolutely is.
But this story is being lumped in with that story because, first of all, they're friends. Yeah. And I felt like the LA Times thought, this rape story, but wouldn't it be great if we had some other pieces to go along with this? I mean, it's not like 4 people suddenly called the LA Times at one time.
No, they were probably researching a story, which there needs to be.
Well, they probably got the, my guess is that the rape story came to them, and then they wanted to dig up some more,
Isn't that a good thing? Or no? You want to publish just one accusation?
No, I think it's a much better story for the LA Times if it's more than one person. But as you said, and I agree,
I think it is a story when there's more than one person.
But 2 of the people are saying he said something. He said, I'll give you stage time if you blow me. She didn't blow him. We don't know that he said that. He told his girl he's having an affair with, which also is, I think that becomes a little gratuitous, the fact that it brings up that he had a 4-year affair, which is also almost makes him sound worse. Well, it does make him sound worse, sure. But not that doesn't have anything to do with forcing someone to have sex.
None of the four stories make him sound like that great of a guy.
No.
Maybe that's why you're not going to see anybody support him.
The girl he had the affair with, who acknowledges it was a mutual affair, she says, first of all, she tries to imply that, oh, I was starstruck. Oh, so you had an affair with somebody for 4 years. You're starstruck. 4 years? Really? That's a little ridiculous. And then she says that
big of a star.
He said that all women have rape fantasies. Well, some women do have rape fantasies.
Yeah.
I don't know that he said that. He would probably be wrong if he said that. But is that really, is that person worth including in the story to say, four women? Personally, I would leave that chick out because I don't think she adds anything to the story. Except that she says he said that.
Well, it shows how he mistreated at least his wife in that example.
Are we going to go into people's marriages and who's been wrong in their marriage? Who's, you know, there's a lot of women who've been shitty in marriages too. I mean, maybe they didn't cheat on them, but they probably did some pretty fucked up things.
If you're judging the story on its merits, I think they would include any misconduct as they labeled it.
But sexual assault and having an affair are two completely rape and having an affair. If you look at marriage, what's the percentage of marriages where someone has an affair? 50%?
Yeah, no one's arguing that.
I'm not sure why it's germane to that story. I don't know. I just think this whole idea of Me Too, that we just throw it out there and then hope something gets done or hope the person gets punished professionally. And that's a good punishment because that makes it about even. I don't know. That just doesn't feel good to me.
It's not right. That's why it'll be interesting to see what happens with his – what's he really doing, his podcast?
Well, he's already lost one thing.
What?
Wasn't he doing a show for Netflix? And Delia were doing a show? But maybe that thing got nixed when Delia got nixed. I don't know. I'm not a fan of any of these people. Chris Delia, the only reason I found out about any of them was from listening to Carl and WATP. And I was like, oh, these shows are awful. And I listened to him after I heard Carl go through them, just because I was like, really? You can just throw a podcast out and just jibber jabber for an hour, and because you're a national comedian, people buy advertising, and actually they have a lot of people listening to it too, which is a nice way to change the subject here, because Alyssa Milano tweeted, and I can't even express how obnoxious I think this is. I can't even begin to express how obnoxious this is, and I'll admit, I'm not a big fan of Alyssa Milano. She is one endless talking point from the left. And, you know, she's the one that shows up at the Kavanaugh hearings and wants to hold signs up. And anyway, she's a bit extreme. And I really, you know, I don't have to pay attention to her on Twitter. I don't follow her. But this really got my attention because she was venting. She sent out about 20 tweets. It was, you know, honestly, when I read through them all, I thought, wow, she doesn't realize this, but she and Trump are a little bit alike. Because that's what Trump does. Trump goes on a big tweet storm, and like half of it, you go, oh, my God, what is he talking about? And half about what she says, you go, oh, my God, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I read them. They're about as crazy. And she also seems to think that her words should matter. And this one I just thought was so fucking out of left field. She says, you know, anytime someone says, we live in a world – you got to believe that something, live in a world where 3 out of every 10 women are sexually assaulted. You know, it's going to be something terrible like that. We live in a world where Joe Rogan's podcast has triples the listeners as my podcast. Dear God!
Is she trying to capitalize on Rogan's podcast? Because it's got to be way more than 3 times.
Yeah, Mark, there's no
way.
It is so much more than three times.
I mean, it is so insane that her ego would allow her to believe she has 1/3 of Joe Rogan's 10 million downloads. Mm. Joe Rogan has, I think he said 9.1 million. So she's saying she has 3 million people listening to her podcast. She does not. She is the 5,760-something ranked podcast. And that came from Barstool, because Barstool was just lambasting her for even dreaming that she had 1/100th of his audience, which she doesn't.
And she just did an Instagram Live for her new podcast, so maybe that'll help her.
Oh, well, maybe it will because she has all those followers on her social media. I mean, that's amazing that you have that many million followers on your social media and you can't get that. You can't get any of them to listen to your podcast.
Do you want to hear the four first comments on
sure.
Instagram Live from California Mike 64? Why do you support Antifa? Why did you support Harvey Weinstein, who was guilty, yet attack Judge Kavanaugh, who was innocent?
What's wrong with these people?
Did she support Harvey Weinstein?
I don't know.
And then Trump 2020, why aren't you supporting Tara Reid? Great question. I think that's fair. Same guy again. Why do you push BLM when they're a Marxist group?
That's right.
You're the one who spreads misinformation and lies. And then the next one, Hi from France. So ridiculous. Good idea going on Facebook Live. Do we dare hear part of it?
Yeah, why don't we listen to some?
80,000 signups today, so you can.
She's obviously trying to pump up her podcast.
Yeah.
And get paid while doing it, which I think is genius.
By the way, I don't take the orders from nowhere.
I also think it's very important if you have the antibodies, right?
Thank you, Dr. Milano.
You have the antibodies and you have recovered from COVID. I think you're a great candidate to be a poll worker. And then,
to be a poll worker?
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't think of anything better. I'm going to go for my antibody test this week because I was
Man,
sick
her
at
boobs
the beginning
are huge.
Of this. I have something in my eye.
Oh, sorry. Look at that.
She's got something in her eye. Yeah, but you got to move for you to be able to see them. That's riveting.
I was
she
sick
had something
at the beginning
eye.
Of this. I took two COVID tests, both of which came up negative.
How are you able to take two?
Yeah.
Imagine how many followers she'd have if she was not hot.
All the symptoms.
I mean, isn't it funny to think about that? She thinks we live in a world where Joe Rogan, who's a normal looking guy, who has 10 million downloads, and here's this hot chick who has millions following her because she's pretty.
Now she brought a guest.
I mean, that's where she comes from.
She brought a guest, and I just want to hear, and then I'll stop putting people through this misery, but I want to hear the introduction of the guest and the quality of the guest's audio.
Okay. I'd like to hear too.
I think that is it. So let's find Nina Jankowicz.
Great, good book
called
Better Than Any Rogan Guest.
How to Lose the Information War. And basically it's about online warfare and the attacks from Russia. So let's see.
Oh, it's when I want to listen to someone talk about it, I think of Alyssa Milano.
I kind of like to hear a few questions.
Let's see.
This might be a good hate listen.
Nina.
It sounds like our show.
I was just going to say, it's like getting Mazon.
Magic.
Isn't it so crazy?
No, it's technology.
This is, I think, my third. Can you hear me okay? It looks like you're
just like us and Maz.
This is like my third.
I hear you in Russia.
Sound quality's not the best of any of this.
Thing. I kind of dig it, though.
It's awesome to be able to see you, even though you're all the way across the country.
Why is Alyssa sound like shit?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds bad, doesn't it?
She doesn't have a microphone.
Can you hear me okay? Because it looks like you're trying to buffer. I don't know if that's the right word. Okay, good. Yeah, because it seems like your internet connection is a little
wrong. Why doesn't she pay an engineer to help her?
I hear
you great.
I mean, she's Alyssa Milano.
Maybe she was afraid of the power imbalance.
Don't worry about it. Let's go on.
She's one-third the listeners of Joe Rogan, 3 million people. You'd think she'd get engineered.
That's the most interesting thing is getting this interview started.
The week that your episode of Sorry Not Sorry dropped.
Yeah, it's called Sorry Not Sorry.
I don't know if you've gotten to listen to it yet. But,
wait. So your first question is, did you listen to my podcast that you were a guest on?
Oh, I see. So she's a Stuttering John-like quality. She likes to talk about herself.
That's weird, man. What a stupid question.
Yes, I love it. It's great.
Okay, good.
Oh, Jesus
I'm so
Christ,
glad.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And so, I mean, let's talk about what happened yesterday with Facebook. I think that was a pretty big deal, right?
Like, what happened yesterday?
They put
with
a
Facebook?
Warning label on a doctored video of Nancy Pelosi, which was
no one is talking about this.
To make her look like she was slurring her speech, which I don't know why they do that to her.
Is this an old show?
Because this is a new one. That it happened again. That,
it did?
This.
Okay.
You know, like, what do you think social media's role is in all of this? Like,
to make money. End of story.
Oh, good God.
Wow.
Well,
nice letting your guest speak, by the way.
We live in a world where Joe Rogan's podcast says triple the listeners is mine. I don't know what offends me more. The we live in a world like Joe Rogan has no business having more podcast listeners than me.
Yeah.
Or the fact that she thinks she has a third of his listeners. Wrong. I mean, they're both so ridiculous.
I think I'm more offended by the claim that she has a third of his listeners.
And some of the posts were just great. This is underneath her Twitter handle. So apparently there's all kinds of hate followers on her Twitter, which I don't understand. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, when Jim does this one thing, I really just don't understand people that have the time to follow people they hate. But
they're trolls.
I mean, yeah, I know. Okay. So the first guy, if Alyssa Milano wants to grow her podcast, she should go on Joe Rogan.
He's right, though. He's right.
The next guy, Brian, who apparently is an Alyssa lover, says, Rogan is a bro fest for boys who like to grab each other's asses and slam beers for 3 hours.
Yeah! Yeah, so what's your point? What's wrong with that?
A bro fest for guys who like to grab each other's asses and slam beers for 3 hours? I don't think that's what Joe Rogan does.
Nah, but what would be wrong with that anyway?
No, I think in that world, that's a terrible, terrible thing.
We live in a world where there's bro fests.
People grab each other's asses and slam beers for 3 hours. Next post. I think you're giving yourself a little too much credit with that three times thing with Joe Rogan. And then they post a picture down below that has Rogan number one, Milano number 5,761 on Chartables. Then the next post. I hear a toddler screaming. Oh, don't worry. It's just Alyssa Milano.
Oh, God.
Alyssa, stop pretending that some crime is being committed because you can't get people to listen to your shitty podcast.
Good luck with your podcast.
And it goes on and on and on. I mean, honest to God, this world. Oh.
Well, I hope she's okay.
Well, it's really, you know what it is? I think that post is a big crock of shit. She honestly believes that she should have more listeners than Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
she's Joe Rogan,
Milano.
He's nothing. He's some man. He's part of the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And they slap ass and drink beers for 3 hours. That's wrong. So I'm going to say I have 1/3 because it's still a ton and suggest that maybe all these people listen to my podcast. And then the right thing will happen. More people listen to me.
After all, she was on Who's the Boss when she was 12.
Apparently, she wants or she thinks she should have a very large podcast. That's sort
apparently
of one of
she
her.
She thinks that. I don't know why she thinks that, because she was on Who's the Boss?
No, because of her Twitter following. She thinks that she should be able to have a big podcast. This is
her
from
Twitter follower. It's just 3.7 million, and half of those are probably haters.
But that's a lot of people. I think she thinks they should all listen to her podcast. This comes from a deep dive on and something, and I finally said, oh, I'm not reading anymore about Alyssa Milano. So I think this is a little scam on her part to suggest that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got millions, but we should have more millions. And actually, there was another screenshot someone sent her that showed that she had. Let's see. I guess this is YouTube. She has 2,300 views. Joe Rogan has 3,731,000 and so on for the same week.
Well, not only that, but here's another bigger thing. How long has Rogan been doing a podcast?
10 years.
How long has Sorry Not Sorry been a podcast?
For a year and a half.
Exactly. I mean, that's a big
difference.
But
honestly, with the head start she has, if it's
sorry,
going to
not
be
sorry.
If it's going to be something, it should be something by now. I mean, I don't think she's waiting. Yeah. She's waiting for promotion. People from outside the Alyssa Milano world are not going to go, oh, my God, Alyssa Milano, the girl in the TV shows and stuff, she's got a pot. Oh, my God, I've got to hear it. And I'm sure she's pissed, though, to see people like Rob Lowe go on and suddenly they're 20th on iTunes.
Well, how many people have shows like hers anyways that are woke talk fests?
Oh, there's zillions of them.
Yeah.
There's zillions.
So it's probably really watered down.
If she did one about her TV career and had people from her shows, it would do much better.
Hey, if I was her consultant, I'd be like, get Danza on.
Yeah, get Tony Danza.
You gotta get Danza on.
I wonder if they're really tight or if Danza's like, oh my God, she's lost it.
You gotta get Jonathan on or Mona. Samantha. Oh, wait, she's Samantha.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsnd.com. They're all pumped because their community customers, the Zot team, are back at full strength. sales and service. They can deliver vehicles to you. You don't even have to come in if you don't want to. Most people are, but some people are opting to have them deliver vehicles. It's not a problem. So they've got their Drive Forward event going on at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where they're offering new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorns for only $188 a month. Jeeps, the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass, it's just $155 a month. You know, it's funny. I saw that Jeep getting shit thrown at it when it was driving through that Black Lives Matter rally because they got on the highway somehow and it was a mistake. And they're going, anyway, people are just throwing shit at the Jeep. And all I could think of was, oh, I really like that Jeep. I wouldn't mind getting a Jeep.
I love Wranglers.
The Wrangler. They've got
that's what it was. It was a Wrangler, the Jeep going through there.
That's a really cool vehicle. I didn't like the color so much, but it was very cool.
No, I was not nuts about that color.
A little bright blue. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. And I didn't mention the 2020 Grand Cherokee, as low as $247 a month. Go to dealsnd.com and look at everything they've got at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
I'd like to apologize to Alyssa Milano for saying she was Justin Who's the Boss. That's the theme Brandon's playing right now. I forgot she was also Jennifer Mancini in Melrose Place, Dr. Michael Mancini's younger sister.
Oh, I don't remember her on that. Was she a big character?
You ready for this description of her?
Hold on. Hold that thought. Okay. If you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. For 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam, 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. And Dr. Roche is doing his thing there. You know, just like Dr. Yaldo, I think there was a little pause in all of this type of work and then unpause. And I know in many or maybe all cases, people are getting COVID tests before they go in for consultations. And they'll even help you get it and get it done fairly easily, I guess, because they're trying to do business. And they are doing business. Actually, they're doing very well. I was kind of surprised by that. But people have time to recover from stuff, which a lot of times you don't have because you're going into an office. You don't want to go in with black and blue eyelids or, black eyes or newly gigantic boobs. Whatever it is.
Well, now's the time to come back with gigantic boobs.
But they are doing, these new programs like Evolve and, where they're lasering people and literally melting fat and building muscle at the same time, which he offered me to be a guinea pig. And then I was like, I'll do it. And I haven't even had a chance to go in and do it. But and then they're doing the usual things like fillers and Botox. And if you want to go back, when you do go back to work, if you want to go back looking especially good, hey, wow, the break was really good for you. Why not? Call Dr. Roche, 248-338.
Big boobs.
I always think people should go to Dr. Roche before a class reunion. That's when I would go, I think. Oh, look at her, man. 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, or DRROCHE. And that's what I would do if I were a chick going to a class reunion. The fillers and the Botox, people look so much younger when he does that. And also the, whatchamacallit, the laser to the face. I can't think of the name of it. And I've had it. He did it to me.
Hang on. It'll come.
Morpheus.
Morpheus. It's not Morpheus. It's not Morpheus. But Morpheus is another good procedure they have.
Evolve.
No, it's not Evolve either.
Did you get Diva?
Diva.
No, I did not get Diva. That's not bad for a class reunion either. And boobs,
stretch!
Boobs, always boobs from Dr. Roche. No, they laser your face and they take out just layers and layers of skin and it unifies the color of your face, which is what I don't think a lot of people realize as you get older.
Is it a photo peel? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's not a photo peel.
Vagine hang like sleeve of wizard.
Yeah, fix that.
I can't think. But it unifies the color of your face, and I don't think people realize this. Unless you look at pictures and you just heard what I said, and you look at older people, you see a lot of different coloration in the face because this age spot and that thing over there, and that's what that does when they laser you, three or four times in 6 months. Your face is all one color, not to mention your skin looks a lot better. So,
speak over your best face and body
Speaking of,
they know all the tricks.
Returning to the office, did you see the wacky story about the Macomb County Medical Examiner's Office?
I did.
Teresa Baldus did.
You know what? Let me go get a drink and start talking about that.
Oh,
is that Teresa's story?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't read bylines a lot. And I, so often after the fact, I find out that it's her story.
Her or ML's, ML's. Or Sean's.
I didn't even know that was Sean's story about Bo.
I know. Oh, like that's,
of course, you know, I guess the thing, when Brandon first mentioned that, that Jim Branstetter didn't like that story, I rolled my eyes immediately because, like, it's like a knee jerk. It's like being hit, like the Michigan cult, when you hit them on the knee or when they react that way, it's like being hit on the knee and having your leg kick up. It's like you automatically defend no matter what.
I don't think we're all that way.
Well, it's not uncommon.
MGO Blog had a pretty scathing write-up and basically saying, we knew this time was coming to win.
Well, Jim Brandstetter's mad at them, too.
He probably is.
MGO, blow yourself.
Yeah, but Jim Harbaugh said, oh, I've been to him since I was 9 years old and nothing ever happened. Now, that was a little rude, I think, when you have 400 people saying it did happen. But, of course, Jim can't say that he knew anything about it either, I guess, right?
Well, I don't know what kind of trouble he'd have or be in. He just doesn't want people to think that that happened to him.
Well, he's the coach now, though.
Well, yeah.
And, I mean, it's been out there for a while. Yeah, and he was a player.
Dead. I mean, it's not like you can get rid of him now.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean it like that. It just doesn't sound good to say, oh, what do you mean? I was 9 years old. Everything was totally cool. You never did anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Were you about to talk about, I didn't know this was her story. Was it the dick cake?
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason it's her story is because there was a ruling where three employees lost their job, and it wasn't just about having the penis cake. It sounds like the Macomb County morgue was a pretty wacky joint.
You about to lose your job.
Let me see the accusations of this one lady, but they researched them, and they gave them due process, and they blew three out, four. Well, another one is... I guess just suspended for now. Look, the lady that they talked to that filed the complaint, the final straw was the penis cake. I think it was the weekend after George Floyd happened.
Anyone for penis
cake?
So here's some of the accusations that happened. A decomposed body of an African-American male had arrived at the morgue. When the parents arrived, they had difficulty identifying the body, unsure that it was their son. The death investigator recalled one of the morgue workers telling her, hey, show them a picture of your penis. Maybe they'll recognize that. Kind of a shitty thing to say. Huh. Recently, a distraught family appeared at the morgue and damaged some doors when the investigator, this is the one that kind of blew the whistle, called 911 and a supervisor to report the incident. The supervisor, quote, later called back and said, are they black? They can break the doors and nothing will happen to them with everything going on because they are black. They'll just say they were upset, according to the complainant. The death investigator said that she had been given the responsibility of identifying the bodies of African Americans whose families have been considered, quote, hostile or difficult by office staff. When those families show up at the morgue, she says, I've been told, go deal with your people. So, and once again, this is a publicly employed group of people at the morgue. Over the last 5 years, the death investigator has been forced to work in a cliquey environment where sex is joked about, oftenly male genitalia, penis screensavers. God, sounds like a radio station.
This office is so cliquey.
Penis screensavers, sticky notes with genitalia scrawled on them, printed images of naked men, penis-shaped confetti scattered on desks. Counters.
Sounds just like the old Riff studio.
It kind of does in a weird way. Hey, let me guess, that was 2000.
Penis, drawn in hands on the newspapers.
I know. There's a lot of. Yeah.
There's Randy Marsh flicking his bean on the wall.
Oh, man. Yeah, but we were a private company and they never, nobody in the building. Well, no, someone actually did complain once, but no one said anything to us. And we found out well after the fact that someone actually complained about the decor in the studio.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
Who complained? Was it a famous person?
Not a famous person. It was an employee. But I was a little upset that, well, you got to tell us this stuff. We'll take the stuff down. There was never an official, you know, complaint or anything.
But that studio was pretty much reserved for your show only.
Exactly. But sometimes, well, I don't want to say anymore without outing the person. I was just saying, Drew, about how the Riff studio that kind of sound a little bit like the Macomb County Medical Examiner's Office with penises everywhere.
Yeah, I thought the same thing immediately. And that story, by the way...
This is different, though, because she says people complained, but nothing ever changed.
I had real mixed feelings about that story.
Oh, really?
Well, first of all, if all of that happened, if 80% of that happened, then all management should be just run off that place. They should fire every manager, because that sounds like the most outrageous workplace.
Yeah. Well, three were fired after a hearing.
But they weren't managers. They weren't they just...
They don't say. They just said employees.
Oh, I thought they said three females.
Three female morgue employees were fired.
Yeah, they sounded like they were subordinates.
And a fourth I don't know. Remains on paid administrative leave.
You know, the strange thing about the story was they said that they could not verify that any of the racial activities were complained about had happened.
Just show him his penis or whatever. About the guy that was decomposed.
They said, you know, you deal with the black families and, you know, oh, is it a black family? Somebody complained. Oh, is it a black family? I mean, those were... You know, if they do that all the time, they implied that they did that all the time.
So that was an accusation about that the supervisor said that, and that supervisor's fine. So maybe they didn't find that enough to be actionable.
Well, they said they couldn't prove it, but they said, you know, all the penis stuff. I don't know if somebody took pictures, but they made it sound like people were crying at their desk. People were crying in their cars. People were crying in the parking lot. People were crying in the bathroom. If you got a workplace where people are crying like that all the time, what the fuck is going on?
If you'll read my note here, I said, I don't know if I believe this one. After all, these people are surrounded by death all the time. Don't you have to have a little bit of composure?
Well, I think, too, people probably need to have some gallows humor, too, which whether it's drawing penises on balloons and Post-its and...
I don't know why people
are drawing penises all over the place, but those were females drawing the penises, weren't they? It's kind of hot.
I was also a little appalled that cake sat out for about a week. It's gross. Did you notice that?
Yeah. And they put a brown towel over it.
4 days after the cake arrived at the
cakes
office, it was still there.
Cakes and pies.
Along with a balloon on a coworker's desk that had a penis hand drawn onto it with a black magic marker. This is why you need to,
the story
don't work
so,
in the public sector, man, if you like drawing penises.
To tell you, that story...
What?
It's all over the place now. It's like a huge international story, and yet I just found it to be... I just didn't know how to take it. First of all, I don't know how anyone who's a manager in that morgue could still be there. If all of that's going on, or a lot of that's going on, and I didn't get the impression that they just blew out the management, but it struck me like the Ellen Show struck me. Because the Ellen Show, it sounds to me like I wouldn't, those people don't want to work for her. That company that produces the show, they're almost ready to cut bait because she's such a fucking pain in the ass. And, you know, it sounds like she wants her bullshit to walk that, oh, it's supposed to be a happy place, and this is exactly what I didn't want, and people who know me know that I wouldn't let this happen. It's like, well, yeah, no, it's been happening.
But it did happen,
and nobody wanted to hear her apology either. Like, fuck your apology.
Yeah.
It doesn't do us any good. And also, they said that people were quitting that show all the time, and people were being fired all the time, and she really doesn't notice any of that?
I find that hard to believe.
I don't believe it. I mean, she made it sound like, look, I'm so big, I just walk in, they just shoot it, and I leave. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's
just
gotten,
everything has just grown so much so fast. I just have to get more involved, I guess.
There was another celebrity, and I'm using air quotes with that, who was supporting Ellen DeGeneres.
Besides Scooter Braun?
Yeah. Where is it? Nacho Figueras. A polo player.
Oh, was it? Were they in the show?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, he wrote, "We love Ellen, right?" He wrote on Instagram before tagging Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez, Michelle Obama, Pink, Sean Hayes, Lady Gaga. Like, these people want to be dragged into this. But he wants all these people to come out and, you know, support her, all these celebrities.
Oh,
He said, "I've been very lucky to be on the show many times, and I can tell you that it's a very well-run machine. Everyone was super nice, not just to me, but to each other and everyone involved."
That reminds me of something incredible.
Who are you?
That I read the other day. You know how people keep saying, we need to get educated. Like, we all need to go spend hours studying, you know, the history of slavery and all these things. And I get kind of annoyed when people say it. It's like, you know, a lot of us are just living our lives and we're not bothering people and we don't want anything bad happening to anyone. black, white, Asian, Cuban, anyone. And this idea that, you know, like, you are responsible. Or no, what do they say? You're not responsible. You didn't do it. Or no, how do they put it?
Complicit.
You're complicit. Yeah, they imply it. All you white people, you need to study up. And I tend to, like, wonder, what exactly do they want me to study? I don't like people telling me what to do anyway.
I've already done my homework.
Well, I sort of feel the same way.
Give me a quiz.
Anyway, the point is, I'm listening to, don't laugh, Chelsea Handler's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told Carl that it might be a good podcast, you know, to talk about the next time he comes on the show or maybe for his show. And so I'm listening to this podcast, and there's this big sort of mea culpa on there where Chelsea Handler says, oh, yeah, I posted this thing, and I guess that wasn't so good. She posted something that Farrakhan had written.
Oh, boy.
And it was about how people should treat each other or something. And she said, well, I just thought it was a really nice post. I mean, you just look at the post. And of course, people were like, it's Louis Farrakhan. And what are you doing? I mean, this is offensive to Jewish people. And Chelsea Handler's Jewish. Mm. And it was like, you don't know that? And she was like, well, I had to educate myself. I didn't realize. And I just read the quote, and it was really nice. And then I had to learn about Louis Farrakhan to know that you couldn't really separate the quote from the person. I'm like, she doesn't know about Louis Farrakhan. Chelsea Handler,
she should know,
who is constantly telling people what to do and how to act and all this business. And she doesn't know anything about Louis Farrakhan?
Mm.
Really? And by the way, Jennifer Aniston liked the tweet. I thought that was so funny. And I didn't read anything about it. Well, it sounds like Jennifer Aniston needs to read up on Louis Farrakhan, too.
She'll just say that she was hacked or one of her people, you know.
Oh, and
breaking news with Mort Krim.
Ellen, the support for Ellen is just growing. So you got Scooter Braun, some guy named Nacho, and now Samantha Ronson has added her support to the Ellen.
Samantha Ronson?
You know, I did figure that Ellen would get a lot of support, specifically from the gay community, because of how much she's helped them over the years.
But there's gay harassment going on there, too.
Yeah, there's two gay managers, who was allegedly grooming young male employees by, you know, hey, I'm going to take you over here, and we're going to meet, you know, all these important people, and blah, blah. This guy's like, well, I'm just a new employee. Why are they doing this for me? I guess I'm really special. And then the guy wants to blow him. And the guy's
just like Brian Callen wanted that girl to blow him.
The guy's straight, except he tried to blow him. He really did try to blow him.
Tried to blow him?
Yeah. He hit on him. I mean, it was a physical, like, no, I don't want you to blow
me. Wait,
and
he didn't let him?
No, he didn't.
Free blowjob? I'm
just kidding. Well, he's heterosexual.
It's a joke.
So there was another guy who liked to try and make out with guys at the Ellen show.
Callen tried to make out with that girl.
He tried to... he kissed some guy in the neck and was nibbling, you know, something. It was just like, ugh.
Maybe she went in.
But of course, I thought when I read the story, it's like, oh, all these guys harassing these girls, you know, or whatever. And there was one manager, they said was handsy around the women. But they didn't say he did anything terrible. Well, I mean, that's bad enough. But anyway, it was the two male gay executives.
Who's in charge of that HR department?
That upset people. And
did they ever file complaints, by the way?
They said that you could not file a complaint there without everyone knowing about it. There was no system where you could just anonymously file a complaint. I know, it's like, what?
No incorporated business in America where that is true.
Well, people were agreeing with that. They said, no, you really couldn't say anything without
being... scared it would get out, yeah.
No, they knew it would get out. And people did complain, and they were bullied, and they were run off the place.
Well, then they should sue. Can't be fired for that.
I got to tell you, it sounded really bad. And the reason I really feel like it was bad is because, you know... We all love Ellen. We all know Ellen's so wonderful, and she's so nice.
It's not a bad show for what it is.
No, it's not a bad show. I would never say that. But Ellen then apologizes, and she says all the right things, and they're like, fuck you. I mean, nobody wanted to hear it. So it's got to be bad.
Yeah, none of her employees.
And the production company sounded like they weren't very happy about it either. They were really kind of thinking about cutting bait. That's pretty incredible. And a number of employees said that the show is such a cash cow, nobody on the management level wants to ever rock the boat. It's like, just keep the fucking cash coming. And we hear that all the time. It does happen all the time. And I'm betting the show will be back. If Ellen wants the show to be back, it'll be back. Mark my words.
So?
Yeah, I do.
Who owns it? Does she own it?
I think she does own it.
Not like a bigger company that distributes it or something like that.
I think that's what the company was that were sort of on the fence about the whole thing. And then there were other people coming out. This Australian television show said that they had this horrific experience with her where they were told not to look her in the eyes, that the one guy could look her in the eyes, but nobody else.
Yeah.
I always hear that, and I think, that's...
Don't look at me!
Nobody does that, do they? But they do. People actually demand not to be looked in the eye. I'm trying to think who recently was accused of that. Was it Steve Harvey?
Like, I feel like you hear it. Oh.
Was that who it was? Remember they had that weird memo?
I think it was Steve Harvey.
There was someone else, too, who doesn't want to be looked in the eye.
There's got to be a Google
search. It seems like it's kind of a chick thing. Because I remember the first time I heard it was Diana Ross. And I think at one point she said, I don't want everybody looking me in the eye. I want to be able to just blow through a room and not be bothered.
I guess I understand that. Katy Perry apparently doesn't want people to look her in the eyes. It's the first one that popped up.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm looking up the first name that popped up for me was Katy Perry as well.
Mm.
And then I think some joker put Stevie Wonder. they said Jennifer Lopez and Nicole Kidman have been known to do the same in the past.
Sounds about right.
J-Lo? Yeah, I could see J-Lo. I could see A-Rod doing it, too.
Don't look at me!
Don't look at me while I'm taking a dump!
Oh, boy. You know, suddenly there's just a lot to talk about. I've really... It's been more fun to do the show lately because there's just a lot of shit going on.
Remember the Walled Lake teacher in his tweet that got fired?
Yeah.
They offered him his job back, and he said no. So it's almost basically like they're admitting that, yeah, that's why we fired him. Over the tweets.
Oh, it didn't sound like there was any doubt about that.
Well, I mean, they said that wasn't the reason why.
Well, so they're saying that there was another reason why they fired him?
Well, they always said, but they couldn't say what it was. So.
Well, then why, if it was so bad, why did they offer him his job back?
Well, exactly. Right. That's what I mean. So pretty much saying they're kind of admitting it. They said they gave him a chance to resign with a neutral letter of recommendation. That was July 15th.
What is a neutral letter of recommendation? That doesn't sound very good. It doesn't sound like a very good recommendation.
Trying to find this part of it. He was fired for a lack of professional judgment was the official reason, according to his termination letter. But he says they offered him his job back, and he said, nope, no thank you.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, look at the bullshit they put him through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the actualities in the story since he's rejected it. And the students aren't happy with him. A vote for Trump is a vote for white supremacy. And it is despicable to see a teacher from my school support such a horrid man.
Oh, I wonder where they get that.
Yeah. An incoming junior emailed school administrators saying, being a Republican does involve his views being racist, homophobic, xenophobic, and so much more.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. You know, that's a very common philosophy on college campuses, that these conservative groups are racist by their very nature. By the nature of them being a group, they're racist. And that was the classic confrontation that's on YouTube where these marginalized people enter a conservative Republican meeting of students, students for conservatism or Republicans or whatever, and they tell them by their very existence that they threaten them and make them unsafe.
You know,
and they start. What's really funny though is the people in the room for these college Republicans. So I'm not even a registered Republican. They all start denying they're Republicans, like it's a crime.
The other new thing in this article about the teacher is that in his personnel file were a dozen emails that parents and of current and former students sent the school district last month concerning his tweets. So it really was over a dozen complaints. That's pretty weak.
He tweeted that the real Donald Trump is our president.
Well, it's not this. they bring up the whole liberal sucks thing, which he admitted to.
He deleted it, though. He deleted
it. That's right.
Oh, it's, his mother said he deleted it pretty quickly.
I understand that.
But somebody screenshotted it.
Yeah.
I just think
I'm sure none of those people have said Donald Trump is a blank. No one's tweeted that out from all those teachers.
Regardless of what it was or what the complaint was, there were only 12 of them. That's what I find amazing.
I do have to make an announcement. So,
what?
Speedway has been purchased by 7-Eleven, which,
oh, yeah, you can go there enough.
It's a fucking bummer, man.
Well, I didn't realize it's part
of Marathon Petroleum is selling Speedway to 7-Eleven, you know, probably to make up because nobody's driving around the United States. So they're probably hurting for some gasoline, you know, income. So they decided to get rid of Speedway, which, of course, is home to the delicious Speedway Freeze, which is better than a 7-Eleven Slurpee. I'm just hoping...
Think of how much better it's going to be now.
The Japanese, who own 7-Eleven, that Drew always supports, I hope they don't change too much, or, you know, the names. I hope they don't screw up my Speedy Rewards points. And God bless everybody who worked for Speedway. I'm going to miss you. And if you don't love it, leave it. USA number one, I'd like to purchase my... my Slurpees from an American company, not a Japanese 7-Eleven.
So xenophobic.
Drew, your rebuttal.
I just don't want 7-Eleven to change any of the great work they do. This cannot in any way interfere with what 7-Eleven's doing because you can live on 7-Eleven where they currently are.
Speedway.
I'm afraid that your opinion is biased in this because I didn't realize that Speedway was owned by Marathon,
yes,
which is dear to your family.
Yes, sure. Marathon is a very nice company that employs many people
fine
in the
women.
Southeast Detroit area. However, this is getting rid of Speedway. That's like if Zuckerberg was just to get rid of Facebook, you know? This is...
what?
It's ridiculous. You don't get rid of an entity like Speedway.
Probably 7-Eleven trying to expand because, you know,
once
they own the marketplace, once they have all of it, then no one will be able to come in and top what they're doing.
Brendan, you'll love their app, too. The 7-Eleven app is wonderful. I still think they have great coffee.
By the way, how many people really need the 7-Eleven app?
Isn't
that kind of funny?
I felt pressured into it. When I was going there every day before COVID, I felt pressured into it because they asked every time.
It became easier to use it. 7-Eleven turn whatever reward they have, but Speedy Rewards points. I've told you guys when I was piss poor in radio up in Traverse City, view of the bay, half the pay. I was broke as shit, and there were times where I spent all my money on bills, like the day I got my check, and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't leave any money left over to eat. So there were several nights. Many where I had to rely on my Speedy Rewards points to get me a taquito here, to get me a sandwich there, and it saved my life.
Well, you could have had the 7-Eleven app and done the same thing there.
Speedway saved my life. There was no 7-Eleven near my area, Traverse City.
7-Eleven has great pizza, by the way.
There will be now.
A nice piece of pizza from there yesterday.
And wonderful employees, honestly.
No, they do a great job over here.
I'm not joking. I'm not saying that. I really do.
I'm just very upset about Speedway.
Shiny and sparkly. And splendidly bright, here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
And the 7-Eleven has made a comment.
I'm a Japanese!
So, who knew that?
Well, yesterday I mentioned Takashi being off his house arrest.
He did.
Shoots a video, it's already out, it's got 23 million streams already. It's a terrible song. I mean, it's horrible. But... today, somebody sent me the video and said, pay close attention to the, I think it's the minute one mark. And so I did. And it's a part where, and by the way, they didn't get permits for anything. They did not get permits. They shut down streets and permits. I mean, they just like,
sound like
hey,
him.
Fuck you, it's Takashi, man.
Usually does everything by the book.
And there's all these people all clumped up with no masks. And this is Takashi, who had to get out of prison because his asthma was so bad. If he got COVID, they said he could die. Mm-hmm. But apparently his asthma is much better now. He's not worried about getting COVID. They have these large groups of people all hanging around with each other. And then they got all these people crowded into cars, which are driving a car across the bridge outside of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And Takashi, this car's going like 60 over the bridge. He is on the windshield outside the car, and the guy driving is texting. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that that's a probation violation. Yeah, it probably is.
Great role model.
It probably is a probation violation. But it just shows that he really, he doesn't get it. He's never going to get it. And
well, he might get it. He didn't care.
That's why you don't give a guy that gets 47 years or should get 47 years 2 years. And all those people insisted he'd be dead within a week of getting out. Boy, it sure doesn't look like... Because he was wide, right in the open there in Brooklyn for, well, I guess, about
security.
4 hours.
He had a security.
Well, you can't shoot through security?
No. Wait, what's that?
I don't know.
Like,
I'm really starting to think that's all a bunch of bullshit.
Why are you so surprised by this?
By what?
That he got out. He's rich and he's got great lawyers and he bamboozled.
He faced 47 years.
People do all the time.
When the charges, when they first got, he had videos on his phone. Armed robberies on videotaped on his own phone.
Yep.
I mean, it was like, it was so stupid. And when this first happened, the prosecution was saying, there's no way he's getting off with anything less than 20, 25 years. He'll be lucky to get 20, 25 years. And somehow he snitches his way to 2 years.
Yeah.
And not even 2 years because his asthma was so bad. So whatever. I mean, what are you going to do? And, of course, his video has 23 million streams.
I like this comment underneath. Imagine a kid just wants to play on that playground and he sees 20 people smoking and flexing money.
Oh, yeah, he's got his big stacks of bills he's throwing around.
Well, just picture a kid going to that playground going, oh, I want to go on that slide.
That's so stupid. So today they had a little story about the Baymont Hotel and the overdoses there. Boy, that story, four people were
found. Oh, is this the Auburn Hills one?
Completely unconscious at the Baymont Hotel in Auburn Hills. And three of them died, two brothers, Kyler Kiesing, who's 18, Caleb Kiesing, who's 20, 17-year-old Sophia Harris, and there's another 20-year-old who they revived somehow. But I'm reading the story, and the mother of the two guys is talking. She and her husband adopted them.
Oh, man.
When they were just, one of them was just born, the other one was two. And apparently, once they got to be about eighth grade, they just started getting into so much trouble. They did everything you were supposed to do, rehabs, and, you know, it sounded like she was, on that night that they died, she was in contact with a probation officer because she feared they were breaking probation. They were not allowed to be together. These two brothers were much trouble together, they had a no-contact order to keep them apart because they were such a bad influence on each other. They had, she was confused by the story, too, because she thought that these kids loved Xanax and OxyContin, and it sounded like they were shooting heroin. But, you know, parents are last to know.
Well, heroin's cheap.
But I felt so bad for their mother and their father adopting these two and, you know, trying to do everything and just nothing working. And people go through that, and it's just worst. And then the story yesterday, I sent this to Brandon. The Channel 4 story I sent you, Brandon? The two parents charged with child abuse.
This is some of the shooting?
Yeah, I sent it to you like 6 hours ago. The four-year-old shot the five-year-old.
Yeah, that was the one we were talking about yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Channel 4 story. They talked to the mother.
Oh, wow. Well, she's charged.
Yeah, she and the husband.
You know what's weird? I didn't even think about this till now because I haven't seen them. What ethnicity are they?
Well, you'll see. Did you find it, Brandon?
I'm looking.
Sent it your email because every time I send it to text, you say you can't play it. So I sent it to your email.
I know. I have many emails.
I sent them back to back. One email was the Vapors turning Japanese because this guy was listening to our Garage Rock One Hit Wonder segment. And she said, I always love this song.
Yeah.
And did you see my message in there, Brandon?
I'm trying to. I have to pull it up differently.
Sounds like Brandon does not pay a great deal of attention to all the things I send him. It doesn't seem to matter if I send him via text, because every time I send him via text, he says, well, it'd be better if you send him via email, and now I send him via email, and he still doesn't bother
reading it. I think it's fair play for you never reading his prep.
Well, what I'm doing, though, is...
No, he'll send prep with, like, 20 items, and if I don't read one, he pops off about it. And actually, no. I do read most of them.
There it is. He sent it at 11:49. I see it. You also need to complete your Dropbox setup. That was another email.
You see my vapors that I sent, too?
Yeah, it came after that.
This came...
Back to back.
Boy, at a different... I know, at, a, seven at, hours at an email that I wasn't prepared around to him, open huh? on the show. I apologize. But I am here now, and I can click this button,
okay.
And I'm sure there's
Let's
no
Let's take
end.
A look.
He was busy morning Speedway.
Glad you went through this beforehand.
A five-year-old girl is in the hospital this afternoon after being shot in the head by her own brother.
Oh, Jesus.
These are photos of that little girl. It happened in Redford Township earlier this morning after the little boy found a loaded gun. And as our Nick Monticelli reports, his mother has a message for other parents who own guns.
Good afternoon. This is the mobile home where all this happened early this morning. Now, the mom came back earlier today to get a few more things for the kids to go back to the hospital. When she stopped, even she admitted they should have been more careful.
She's a very good girl. She loves everybody.
This is five-year-old Karina Norwood recovering at Children's Hospital this noon after being shot accidentally by her four-year-old brother.
Right?
It happened around 1:30 this morning inside of this mobile home on Plymouth near Telegraph in Redford Township. Her mother, Melissa Kaiser, woke up to the shot and crying.
I heard Karina crying. I can't breathe, and I got to her, and she was bleeding.
She says the four-year-old boy has trouble sleeping. He woke up, went into a back bedroom, and was able to unlock a small closet where the loaded gun was.
He thought it was a toy gun, and he didn't realize that it wasn't a toy gun.
Thinking it was a toy, he went into his sister's room and shot her in the head. It hit the top of her head, splitting her head open.
Oh, my
Kaiser
God.
Kaiser says there is a lot of damage, but Karina should be okay.
Doing she's very responsive. Good. She's responding. She's healthy. She's perfect. She's smiling. That's all that matters to me as a mom.
Mom says this is also a very hard way to learn a lesson.
Just advise all you parents to put up guns and keep them away from your kids. Don't let them be able to get them. A lock in the back room does not work.
Well, when
I looked at the voice like get that, to this, my baby got to it.
Now, there was another one-year-old child in the home. He is okay. The husband was there as well. The gun is his and registered in his name.
Oh.
It'll be up to the Wayne County prosecutor if the parents face any charges.
Okay. How's a kid know the gun is locked in this thing that's not really locked?
No, it knows.
And why is it? I mean, that's not a lesson learning that you shouldn't have the gun was loaded, by the way.
Yeah.
A loaded gun where a four-year-old can get it. At 1:30 in the morning, really? He can't sleep, so he gets up to get a gun?
That's the thing. Oh,
I just woke up. I think I'll go get that gun and shoot my sister, who was in her bed.
Yeah.
What?
And were the parents in that room? I don't know.
Something about that story seemed sort of fishy. And then
I just think they're just stupid and let the kid knew there was a gun and he knew where it was and he wanted to go get it because kids are dumb sometimes. It's irresponsible.
Are the kids really dumb? I mean, isn't...
Well, yeah,
isn't
that
really
kid probably didn't know that it would
this.
Split his sister's head open. He probably thought it was, a toy. Probably didn't have response.
But you mean to tell me, really, the kid woke up at 1:30 and went to the back cabinet, which was locked, unlocked it, and got the gun, which was within his reach, went and shot his sister in it. I mean, that's really weird.
I don't think the cabinet was locked, first of all. I find that very...
I don't know many four-year-olds that get up in the middle of the night and go find a gun and shoot their sister.
Well,
that seems pretty strange. I'm not saying the four-year-old's a murderer. I'm just saying, he's four.
What do you think, then?
I just don't believe he was in bed. I mean, do you think that four-year-olds get up and get things out of cabinets? And I mean,
you'd be surprised.
They can.
They can wander.
They can,
At 1:30 in the morning, he gets up and goes right to this cabinet, unlocks it, gets the gun and goes and shoots his sister in the head.
As I said yesterday, I don't think he ever went to bed.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Probably up the whole time.
I'm not saying that he couldn't wake up in the middle of the night and go get the gun. It just sounded more like they were probably up. But,
oh, yeah. No, we were saying that yesterday, that they were up. Is that story from yesterday? Or is that
No,
from
that's the original story, because yeah, that's when she spoke, yeah, and I wanted to see her, what she said.
The updated version, she's white, by the way, that was the ethnicity. But yesterday's story said that they were up. They also said that the gun wasn't his. It was a relative's.
Yeah.
So it sounds like
all I know,
covering for a relative. There's no way it was locked behind a cabinet.
The gun was registered to the husband, yeah, as they said in that story. Okay, first of all, at the end of the story, they should have said, and we just like to add, no more guns for you.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be nice if that's the way that story ended? It's another case of no more guns for you, and no more guns for the relative, too, because if the relative left his loaded gun there, then it should be no more guns for you. So whoever's gun it was, no more guns for you. I mean, why is that so hard? Why don't we do that?
I don't know.
Or just charge these people, and then it'll be the same thing as no guns for you when they go to jail, because there'll be no guns for you in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are charged now. They'll probably be
but
out.
But they're not charged with no more guns for you. I bet you they'll get their guns back. Remember the guy, remember the FBI agent who was dancing drunk and did the flip and the gun, his gun went off in his pocket?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, this is such an obvious no more guns for you. He's an FBI agent, doesn't know better than having a loaded gun and doing a flip drunk in a bar. First of all, doing the flip, you know, which people thought was so cool.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing enough. But the fact that he was an FBI agent, knows all, has been trained in every way, shape, or form, and still doesn't bother to have an unloaded gun in his pocket or take it out before he does this stupid flip. And I said, I have a feeling it's not going to be no more guns for you, but it sure should be no more guns for you. Well, of course, he did get his gun back.
Is he still with the FBI, too?
Yes. He was disciplined, but he did not lose his gun.
Now, is this the same story, as I recall, that the victim of the gunshot did the interview with?
Yeah, they were hitting the leg. They were seem to be pushing their injury.
Yes. And didn't he have?
He'd been in bed for like 2 months.
Didn't he have something ridiculous on his leg? He was icing it, or he was icing.
Yeah, it was. It seemed. I don't know. I just didn't believe he was hurt that bad. I hate to say that, but it seemed like he was pushing his injury.
I'll shoot you in the leg.
Maybe gets a
I'll
nice
dance and then shoot
it
you.
It was
in
like
the
months
leg.
Later, and it's like he's still like has to keep his leg up, and he's got ice on it. I mean, ice is usually the first 24 to 48 hours.
What was that? What was that interview on? Because
I was on GMA or Today Show. I think
I gotta find that guy. That was really just great. Tom Reddington was his name. His life's been turned upside down after that night. Lost his job at the Amazon warehouse, and why did he lose his job?
Wait, Amazon fired him over getting shot by an FBI agent?
He has chronic pain. He's done months of physical therapy. He sought counseling. However, being in public, especially seeing law enforcement.
Is he getting a settlement for this, I hope?
Wait. Being in public, especially seeing law enforcement with guns, makes me very uncomfortable. What if you're in public and people are dancing? Because that's really what caused the gun to go off.
That the guy doing the flip.
That should make you more uncomfortable.
I thought it hit him in the foot, by the way.
Well,
the bullet?
You said leg.
Well, okay.
His life's been turned upside down. Just like that guy was doing when his gun went off. He flipped upside down.
I bet you that guy has done a flip while dancing since then.
Oh, fuck yeah. He probably shows
probably
all
the gun in his pocket.
Probably, this is the move I was trying to do.
While you're looking for that guy, I'll mention that. Did you see Joe Biden's
there he is. Sorry.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, he's in some really, isn't he in traction or something?
I think you're right. He is kind of pushing it. He has swelling, aching pain in his calf. He was hitting his calf.
Calf seems like it would heal pretty quickly, doesn't
it?
If I want to be shot in the leg, it'd be in the
calf. Yeah, or the buttocks. Buttocks seems like a place to take a bullet, right?
You get ice cream.
What?
Was this guy dancing at the time?
Mark, you get ice cream when you get shot in the buttocks.
Off-duty FBI agent whose gun
is that
went
a Sandlot
off while
reference?
Dancing at a Denver bar.
Everybody knows that.
There's the pictures right there. The 24-year-old victim is telling his story for the first time.
Oh my
ABC's Clayton
God,
Sandell
stupid.
Is in Denver with the details. Good
no
morning,
more
Clayton.
Guns for you.
Hey, good morning,
no
George.
More guns.
Tom Reddington just moved to Denver a few months ago, and this morning he says he's in a lot of pain.
Why did
you'll
he lose
notice
his
he can't
Amazon
even
job?
Sit up
I don't
on the
understand
couch
that.
For an interview. He says what happened that night was beyond bizarre. A split second that changed two lives forever.
He could just get a seat.
This morning, the man on the path of this dancing FBI agent's
the crowd is loving it too.
Misfire is speaking out.
The crowd's cheering
from a
as the gun goes off.
To his leg.
There's a swelling, aching pain in my calf. Is a massive cramp.
24-year-old Tom Reddington went dancing with friends over the weekend at this Denver bar.
Went there to dance?
Yeah.
29-year-old
maybe that's why. Maybe because he lost the dance off. That's a terrible dance by the FBI.
But during this backflip, he
that's the fourth time they've shown the flip.
Accidentally busting a cap.
We sat down at one of these picnic
there's
tables.
The ice,
I heard
the
a loud
ice.
Bang, and I thought, oh, some idiot set off a firecracker. All of a sudden, from the knee down, became completely red. And that's when it clicked in my head, oh, I've been shot.
As Agent Bishop appears to walk
totally
away,
fine.
That quick smile and a hands up, people in the crowd rush in to help, using a belt as a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. Reddington in and out of consciousness. Reddington says his injury is putting his job at Amazon on hold.
Yeah, I'm walking 5-10 miles pretty much every day for work, lifting things.
Well,
he
should sue
he
Amazon,
says he's
man.
This video at least 2 dozen
what kind
times.
What job is that?
I originally thought like.
He said he's watched.
I think his calf would be in better shape. It would take it better.
He's watched the video 2 dozen times. So have we, because they keep looping it on the story.
And I found out I got shot. It was an altercation that I got hit in the crossfire of, because civilian casualties like that, dude, those happen.
Civilian casualty? What?
But when I saw him do a backflip, I couldn't help but laugh.
But Reddington now says he's reached a surprising conclusion.
There was no pointing. There was no aiming. I don't blame the guy. I don't want to ruin his life. I just want a private phone call from this guy.
The FBI tells us
the
Agent
didn't
Bishop
call him?
Will be held accountable.
Not that time.
He could also face criminal charges. Denver police.
Oh yeah, bullshit.
Well,
no, he didn't
up.
Face. He nothing happened to that guy.
No, not at all.
He has his gun.
Is he bad? I wonder if he's back on the job.
You know, if that guy walked 5-10 miles, 5-10 miles a day in the Amazon warehouse, really?
Oh yeah,
5-10 miles.
I believe it. Yeah.
It says that he, that
like
Chase
crazy.
Bishop is a former FBI agent.
Wouldn't his calf be in better shape if he walked 5-10 miles to take a
Well, bullet? He just got there. He just started that job, as it said in the story.
He's been
there.
Walking 5-10 miles a day. He's in pretty good shape. Started wouldn't bother him that much. Just saying. Some people are saying.
I love that her anger's turned to the victim of this story. Well, everybody knows that agent's an idiot.
Rand, why is he next agent, Brandon?
I'm trying. Well, I mean, he was convicted of something. So, I mean, he got in
bad
trouble
dancing.
For this.
Okay.
He got no jail.
He pleaded
time.
Guilty to an assault charge in late 2018. And it's just everywhere I look to, it keeps telling me that he's a former agent. But I haven't been able to find him currently.
Huh, I read something about his discipline, and he was disciplined, but he did get his gun back. That's what
pay,
they said.
He had to pay restitution to. He was fined $1,200. I wonder how much restitution he had to pay.
He's paying
guy.
That guy for a long time, because that guy's probably still on that couch with the ice on still there.
Still icing that calf.
Sorry. He is the victim. I'm sorry for
don't
what he's been through.
Yeah,
I'm certainly sorry for him and his family, and hopefully things will work out with Amazon and he'll get through this thing.
Come on, Bezos.
Thoughts and prayers certainly are with him.
Way to dump him, Bezos.
I'm sure Bezos can't afford to help him. So, Brandon, did you see where the vapors video I sent you? What was interesting about that?
That's right here as well.
Were you aware, though, of what I found interesting in the video?
No.
Oh, my God.
I didn't
Mark,
get this.
Should I just send you this, send you this stuff, Mark?
I didn't
I do
get
feel
it.
A little left out. I mean, you can't see me on them.
Yeah, I didn't get it because, A, it went to a different email address than I was expecting. I apologize.
No, it went to the same one I always email you at. So I can't text you. I have to know the right email address.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
You have email addresses that you don't look at?
Well, I have email addresses that
I
send
it to the
for...
Drew and Mike podcast email address. What
sounds
more...
like you're straining to do some explaining.
I mean, we can get rid of that email address. It'll save us, as we found out today,
$8 a month. Yeah, let's get rid
Maz
of that. Because
Maz had one that he didn't use, and now we're saving $8.
If it's too overwhelming to look at the emails on there, then let's give me the one you want me to send it to, and we'll get rid of that and save $8.
Here's the very racist song.
Okay, this is on a UK show. I see you cued it to the minute 10 where and read my message.
Mail said I.
This is a great song, by the way. The Vapors. Some say that turning Japanese is the face you make when you're masturbating.
Yeah, isn't that what it's about? Beating off?
That's kind of what I thought. By the way, I always thought the singer was Asian listening to the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Watch the drummer drop the drumstick, though, at the 110 mark, the 115. Watch, he's
right there.
He just dropped him. And now you'll see him. The drums are still playing. It's crazy. You don't hear the drums stop. Because you're going to see him pick them up, too, later.
Yeah, he just picked them up and was waltzing back to his kid.
Yeah, no.
Well, this is the one take vapors?
No, they're lip syncing. On UK TV.
The crowd doesn't seem really into it either.
Well, they're lip syncing. I mean, how into it can you be?
It's just like Bandstand, right?
How about the guy with. Well, bands never played on Bandstand, hardly ever.
I was up on you!
Doesn't that guy sing have kind of a Zuckerberg haircut, except he's got the partying back?
He's got mullet, man.
Yeah, but he's way short in front. He looks like Zuckerberg.
It's more like a Bon Scott haircut.
He looks like Gary Newman.
He's got a big party going on in the back, though.
Nice microphone, by the way. What is that thing?
Yeah, it's like Bob Barker's microphone?
I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
Oh my god, this is a terrible performance.
Shut your hole, Wang Chung.
The crowd is not even moving. They gotta get that.
There's like seven people in the studio. The
crowd needs the dancing FBI agent in it.
I swear, some of these old videos are really funny. Like, there's a video of Bowie.
Oh, there he is.
I'm sorry.
There's a video of Bowie, and it's like 72. Might be Top of the Pops, and I think he's doing Starman. And there's like these people wearing these really nice sweaters and, you know, like, you know, dress pants. And there's Bowie, you know, looking almost like very androgynous with all this makeup on and the long hair. And the people in the background just look so out of place. Like, who's this David Bowie guy? Is it Bowie or Bowie?
Like, who was it that famously called him David Bowie? Avril Lavigne. Do you remember that?
Yes.
She loved David Bowie.
There's a lady on Wheel of Fortune called him David Bowie, too, because it said David, and it was B-O blank I-E. It's like, David, who is it? David Body? David. I'm like, going, who the fuck? And she goes, oh, can I have a W? And I'm like, oh, fuck, David Bowie and that old bag nose.
Did they count
it? And she goes, David Bowie. I was like, David Bowie.
Did they count that?
Yeah, they gave it to her.
Really?
I think so. Well, she had it all spelled.
Piff.
Did you see that Joe Biden says he needs two more weeks to pick his VP?
Oh, my God. Slow down, Biden. Even Kanye's got his.
I think no matter who Biden picks, it's going to be the one chance Trump may have to completely, like,
oh, wait, hang on
hammer
a second.
Down on Biden.
Hang on a second.
Levine's slip of the tongue.
Okay, you were a little nervous about reading the names.
I was just, like, wasn't sure if I was, and I did mispronounce someone's name. David Bowie.
David Bowie.
That's okay. Whatever. I got the other ones right, I think.
Idiot. Sorry, Biden.
Where did she go, by the way? Whatever happened to Avril Lavigne?
Well, she married Nickelback, Kroger, man. Yeah. After she married some 41 man.
I think they got divorced, though. Didn't they?
But what happened to her music? She was a big deal for like 10 minutes.
Someone stopped writing for her? I don't know.
She became 35, I guess.
Huh. So her career's over?
No,
I'm sure she's got a bunch of stuff in the works. I just haven't heard of it. I mean, she's up in Canada.
Okay.
And so she's like Princess Di in Canada, I think.
Anyway, so I'm reading this thing about Joe Biden and delaying the 2 weeks, and he's explaining to some reporter that, I can't even get along with anybody with you guys chasing me all over the place. You know, sort of implying that he can't have an interview because everyone will know who it is when the person is with him. Like, he can't ever be alone with anyone.
Does he have a fucking telephone?
No, it was,
he can't call people, he can't Zoom.
He doesn't know about Zoom.
He's done Zoom, although you're right, he probably wouldn't know.
Anyway, it was just an excuse, I think. But they were implying that, you know, it's got to be a black female, so it's down to this very few small group.
Well, it sounded like they wanted Kamala Harris, and then people around him were like, fuck her, not picking her.
Yeah, bullshit. She was climbing all over in the debates about segregation.
So what? Yeah, that little
and busing and all these
so
not,
what?
Not so progressive policies that he supported.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't agree with him. I mean, if that's who you're going to pick, just pick her. Let's
move on. I guess the fear was that these clips will all be run. I guess she was very aggressive about criticizing him in the debate. So there's a lot of bad video. Then I guess they've been all high on this Congresswoman Karen Bass.
Yeah.
Except that she has praised Castro on a few occasions.
And Scientology.
Yes. They have a video of her. She spoke to a Scientology group. Now, I suspect that she was paid a lot of money to speak to Scientology. She doesn't say that. But she just says that, I guess in the video, she's trying to say that, well, I was just trying to find some stuff in common because I was speaking to this group and I know who they are. And
whatever, lady. She's out. She's
anyway,
out.
She praised L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, no.
And she praises Scientology. And
that's pretty smart. She get that Scientology.
Dweller H.
And then there's Susan Wright, who's never run for office. Susan Rice. National Security Advisor.
Rice, yeah.
Susan Rice, yeah. And then Senator Tammy Duckworth.
I think she would be the obvious choice, right?
Can you put her up on the screen? I know the name. I just
she's the one she that's, is. She's in a wheelchair. She's a war veteran. She's in the
Army. Well, then you can't rag on her.
Well, who tried? Didn't Trump rag on her or something? She was in the news recently.
Oh, you know why? She was saying that she supported the people tearing down statues. And so, of course, a lot of people said, that's not really too cool, because people were accusing the Democrats of saying that. And then even though they didn't say anything about it, they were saying, oh, no, we don't mean it quite like that. But she actually came out and said she supported tearing the statues down. And now she says, no, I condemn it. That was a mistake. And I really like the peaceful protests, and that's about it.
It was Tucker Carlson that tweeted that she hates America.
Well, they didn't bring that up. They just mentioned that the current issue is apparently she was a little, some felt, overly supportive of people just ripping statues down, the mob. And since then, apparently, she has condemned it. Said that's not really how we do things. Yeah. So I don't know why that's a big deal.
Are we expecting to see full blown debates? Like, are we going to see Mike Pence and whoever this VP debate is? Are we going to see?
I don't know.
Trump and Biden.
That's funny that you said that. Funny that you said that today, because today I heard that there will be no presidential debates, or that there are people who don't want any presidential debates.
Why?
I don't know.
They can't do it on Zoom.
I don't know. Obviously, they could do it. I don't even. That was probably just bullshit. I mean, it's probably just somebody talking shit. But so anyway, something tells me the VP pick is going to be a problem. I don't know why. It's just a feeling. It just seems like
it always is a problem.
It always is. No, for the guy that needs the new person that nobody knows, it's like once they get in the VP, because they're one heartbeat from the presidency, and then people start just digging in, and there's so much shit to look at now. And as a vetter, if you're vetting someone, you don't have the time that the thousands of people on the other side have to look at every fucking thing she's ever done, said,
sure.
Everything online. And people will dig up something and then they'll make a big stink about it. But, I mean, that's anybody. That'll happen to anybody. So.
Do you think the VP matters that much?
In this case, it does.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it always does. I mean, there's been a number of VPs who've ended up president. Lyndon Johnson. Gerald Ford was Speaker of the House.
Yeah, but he was never elected, yeah.
But he was president. He was an unelected president, as was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
But he replaced Agnew.
Right. Agnew. But, I mean, but VPs do end up being president. It does happen.
No, I know.
Harry Truman
don't know how many people changed their vote based on the VP. I mean, I guess it happens.
I think it's a small amount, maybe. Maybe just a small amount.
I just think it's... I think
they usually can bring you one state.
Let me rephrase it. I think it matters. I just think it's overblown as to how much it matters.
Sarah Palin was a mess. I mean, that was a disaster.
Sarah Palin was a mess. I just don't know if that... Is that really what changed the election?
It didn't help. I mean, he needed a boost, and he got
it for like a week.
Because
remember,
days.
Her first speech was really good.
Yeah. But then they started interviewing her, and she had to answer off the top of her head. Yeah.
Then her daughter got knocked up.
And then they started asking all those gotcha questions, like, what magazines do you read?
Gotcha media.
All right, one more thing. Because this people...
I do have some interest. There's three, I think, interesting things that happened on this day in history. Do you care?
Such as?
Joe Necro was busted with the file in his back pocket.
Oh, it was funny.
Which was hilarious. Was if really anybody funny. Has never seen that video.
Didn't he try to like drop it on the ground like, oh, what's that?
Throw his hands up in the air as he's throwing it, but the camera caught it. the Donner Party, remember the Donner Party? The cannibals?
The Donner Party? Oh, Dom's?
Party? The Donner Party. It's a very famous.
They were
heading out west, the big group of Western travelers, and they ended up eating each other because they got stuck.
What year was that?
The 1800s.
Yeah. I don't think I remember that off the top of my head. I want to look it up, though.
Finally, this day in
history. 1846.
This day in history. There's no electricity. You wouldn't care.
No.
Michael Hardwick is arrested for sodomy after a police officer observed him having sex with another man in his own bedroom in Georgia. Although the district,
what year was that?
This is 82.
1982. I remember this story.
Although the DA eventually dropped the charges, Hardwick decided to challenge the constitutionality of Georgia's sodomy law. Then a John and Mary Doe joined in the suit against the attorney general in Georgia.
All of the sodomy that was committed was volunteered.
He was boofooing Mary Doe, right?
Yeah, John was too. They joined in
right.
to help the gay couple challenge it. And the Supreme Court ruled that...
Was that the girl who was on the Newlywed Game? Wasn't it the same woman?
in the butt bob?
Yeah.
No. So in 86, the Supreme Court ruled on it and ruled 5-4 that states could treat certain types of consensual sex as criminal acts, which seems ridiculous today. It was then overturned in 03.
Some people
two other guys
criminal.
Challenged it.
Some women, they think it's criminal.
But it's consensual.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, maybe
I remember that case.
Some women
that case got a lot of
this.
Attention.
There's some women that do this. and like it.
Maybe she wanted to have sodomy with a couple guys and got out of hand.
Yeah. So happy anniversary, sodomy.
Okay. In Louisville, there's a guy named Fernando Martinez. And people have been sending me this story. And I just, it was like, it was coming. The links were from sort of weird places. I didn't really know that they were solid. And then the story was in the Louisville paper. And then it was on the Daily Mail today. I'm like, okay, this is becoming a big story. And so about this guy, Fernando Martinez, who is a Cuban immigrant. And he has a restaurant in Louisville. And due to protests and demonstrations, he's had to close his restaurant for a few days. In fact, he lost a weekend. And anyway, he's a successful business person. He floated here on an 18-foot raft from Cuba. Yep. His parents both lost their businesses because Castro nationalized and took away their private businesses, and they lost everything. And so he decided he wanted to come to America, and he loves America, and he is doing his thing in this section of Louisville that's a very sort of up-and-coming area. He's done very well. And anyway, he was approached recently by someone representing Black Lives Matter telling him that he needed to become diverse and have 23% black employees.
Did he say, no, I don't?
He needed to buy 23% of his inventory from black companies, and that he also needed to have diversity training twice a year done by one of these companies that BLM approves of.
Did he have to get his garbage collected from a certain garbage company, too? And does he have to use cement from a certain cement company?
They did not say that.
Does it sound very mafia?
Yes. That's what he said.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, in fact, there's a lot of people are saying that this demand for compliance and this threat, the threats are that he'll be reported to the Better Business Bureau. They will social media blast him as being against blacks. Also that they will have a public boycott and a media-covered protests, as they put it, of his business.
Okay, great.
If he did not comply. They did say that if he did not follow the 23%, he could donate 1.5% of his sales to a nonprofit, which they would tell him which ones he could give it to.
Oh, why doesn't he say, yeah, I'll do that, cool, and then just not do it?
And he was asked to put a message of support in his window, and they said if he did not put the message of support in his window that he would face repercussions, and he should put it there so his shit doesn't get fucked with. I think that was the quote. He said, fuck you, absolutely not. You're extorting me, and get the fuck out of here. Because they wanted him to sign something. He was supposed to sign a contract. It's like one of those informal contracts that you just sign, yeah, and then people come back and try to hold you to
it. And a lot of the other businesses apparently have voluntarily signed.
Well, he said that the story in the Courier said, I think they said maybe a dozen or more companies signed this. Yeah. However,
it doesn't mean anything.
Anonymously, a number of them said that they signed this because they felt they had to.
They were entirely pressured
to do this.
I'm sure they thought they had to.
And since he did not sign it, and he spoke...
The funny thing is, it doesn't mean anything, but I appreciate this guy taking a stand.
Well, he says that his business has been vandalized since he spoke out about this.
Yeah, which now you know why the other businesses signed it.
The Cuban community is rallying behind him. In fact, they had a support day where people in front of his business held signs and saying, we are not the enemy of the black community. He gave a speech.
Bobby, there's Cubans in Cuba.
Saying he loves the U.S., he loves freedom, that, what was the one message? Oh, his son is gay, he is Cuban, he is Cuban slash black. He is half black, I think. I'm not sure if it's half or quarter black, but he said, I'm black.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm black and Cuban.
They clearly don't care.
My family is black.
They don't care about that.
Well, I don't think they think he's black, or they didn't think he was black. But I don't think they really cared. They just wanted him to give the money. And anyway, the Urban League has been posting all these anti-La Bodeguita de Mima messages. That's the name of his restaurant, which, by the way, is very successful. In fact, he has a few restaurants. And the Urban League is posting all these messages saying that they will no longer eat at La Bodeguita de Mima or any Ole restaurants. That rather than affirm he is... aware of the pain of our people, he is choosing to highlight his superiority. And this one message. Did I not write the whole thing down? They said something about, I'm not sure why a human other than a racist would be so against what we're trying to do. And they go on and on about gentrification and... some of the quotes were just such bullshit.
Well, I guess it all started because they tore down a housing project or something, which this guy...
This neighborhood was a very low-income neighborhood, and there were a lot of problems. It was a high-crime neighborhood as well, and is now a very exemplary neighborhood with a lot of new businesses, and that's what angers people. The residents of Louisville are sending strong, educated... standing strong together and educated together to express the destruction your business has caused to low-income communities, especially those with majority black residents. We therefore demand representation and reparations from the new Lou Business District of Louisville for the gentrification that has taken place.
Shouldn't that go towards the city that decided to tear it down and say,
well, they are
it's
asking,
funny when you say new Lou, by the way, it's Soda Sopa, you know.
It is very similar to Soda Sopa.
They are trying to get money from the city as well. As it turns out, if you do enough reading on this, you'll find that Black Lives Matter is asking so many different people for money. Not only are they asking so many different people for money, so many people are giving them money. You know, we've talked about all the corporations and, you know, Mackenzie Bezos, that's not her name anymore, giving $1.7 billion. I mean, Black Lives Matter is awash in money and asking anyone and everyone, it seems, for more, including all these businesses in the Nulu district, some of which have agreed to give them money. Nulu has displaced marginalized people from homes their families have had for generations. This has been happening to black, indigenous, and persons of color at the hands of white, heterosexual patriarchy since the inception of this nation. Black folks can't have their own space when wealthy white folks see an opportunity to make money. And this is coming to an end now.
Well, they should take some of that money and then buy a business. So that money that was donated.
Yeah. Anyway, this I thought this was one of these real marginal stories, but this story is really catching fire now. And when I saw the Daily Mail today, I was like, oh, my God, this is the Daily Mail. And Apparently, this is going on in some other cities, too, and some other people are either going along with it because they don't know what to do, or very few are complaining, but some people are starting to quietly complain about it now.
I was just reading through the contract thing that they said.
Such bullshit.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing.
First of all, this guy is a Cuban immigrant.
It's not a contract. Well, regardless, I'm taught to say it's you. And
it's not his fault. None of this is his fault.
It wouldn't be your fault either. I'm just, regardless of what his ethnicity is, this thing doesn't, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, it means that they want him to either commit to hiring a certain percentage of people who are black.
Okay.
Commit to buying a certain amount of his inventory from people who are black.
Sure. Or what?
Or pay 1.5% of his net revenues to BLM.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do it too. Cool. I'll sign it. See ya.
Yeah. Well,
how are they going to hold them to that?
Well, they said they would send social media blasts. They would have media covered protests in front of his business. Basically, that, you know, we will make you look like an asshole and you will comply. Oh,
good luck with that.
Well, they have had good luck with stuff like that. I mean, there are a lot of people who looked bad.
I think most people see this story and realize what bullshit it is. So
yeah, I think they will.
It kind of backfires on them.
It could.
Oh, I think it would.
But, you know, when you see Black Lives Matters, when you watch an NBA game or you watch the national anthem, you see the big, you know, Black Lives Matters and you see it on the court, it's very powerful and a lot of people. And that's kind of what I was talking about with people who suggest that, you know, hey, I don't like what's going on with all this destruction. I'm a big supporter of Black Lives Matter and peaceful protesting. They'll always say that. Always. Because you can't say you don't support it.
Is there a difference between the message and the actual foundation or whatever this whatever their foundation is?
Well, their foundation is Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. You don't see a difference between the message and the foundation?
What do you mean the message?
Of Black Lives Matter as much as anyone else.
I don't know what this has to do with Black Lives Matter. I don't see what the two have in common.
They don't.
But people are giving money in huge sums, and I'm not sure, where does all this money go? I mean, it's a phenomenal sum of money. And I will hold to, I wish it was a GoFundMe for adult African Americans, because I think that would empower people more than any of whatever these programs are. And supposedly, you know, they're going to do great things, but programs. We've had
sounds
so
like
many
you're
programs.
In favor of reparations.
No, I'm really not. But if people are going to throw money at BLM, I would just assume they threw it and made it a GoFundMe that could benefit all people without any questions.
They have to have a tax filing. Because they have to show where it goes.
I'm sure they will have the best accountants and all that stuff, because it's a ton of money. I mean, it's a phenomenal amount of money. Before Lindsay Bezos ever decided to, you know, top Jeff
McKenzie,
she should have challenged him. You've got more money than me, so you got to give at least $1.7 billion.
And he would go, you know what? People already hate me, so I'm not going to.
I don't know. I think Bezos wants to be loved.
Do you? Yeah, Bezos, like, the whole thing cracks me up. Because
he can't want to be loved that much, though, and be what he is.
People hate him, right? They just hate him because he won capitalism. But frankly, all those people are going to keep using Amazon. So
yeah, they will.
Boo-hoo. It's
like, they're like the airlines.
Yeah, because you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. There's no competition with Amazon. There's no competition with the airlines. Are cartel.
Well, what a lot of people object to, though, is the way they just eat up businesses. They just go, look at all the business they're getting, and they know because they're shipping it. And they go, we'll do this. We'll do it for a dollar less, and we'll take it away.
Drew, that's my point.
If not, they'll buy them up.
I don't like how they do that, too, but I'm still going to be a Prime member. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I still want my packages in 2 days.
I would think that restraint of trade or, you know, the usual sort of things would come up, as they are with Google. I mean, lots of people on Google should have this kind of power.
Here's the big thing. They really make a lot of their money in a killing with their web services. It's not just their marketplace.
Amazon?
Yeah, AWS, which is a very competitive market. But they make a killing with so much stuff.
Well,
they
do make a little money shipping products.
You know what? I'm going to do some research on that, because I think you'd be surprised in where a lot of their money comes from.
Well, how many people do they employ in their warehouses? It's quite a few people.
I know. They don't pay them shit.
What's going on with that? I was driving by the Silverdome the other day. I could not believe.
Did you get emotional, by the way?
I could not believe how big that building is.
What building?
Exactly. So there used to be a little thing called the Silverdome there, right there on M59. It used to be pretty big. Well, now there is a building that completely dwarfs what the Silverdome used to be.
Is that Amazon?
And I'm pretty sure it's a big Amazon distribution center or something. Good. It's massive. And it popped up out of nowhere, at least according to me, because I drove by it, you know, one day and nothing. And then the next day, and it was like, oh, my God, the building's almost already done. It's like they're building it like the Chinese build their roads and buildings.
Because it went up that fast? Well, I didn't even know.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Been by there in a while.
They build skyscrapers in 1 week.
Oh, I know.
While we build holes in the ground that are supposed to be the next Hudson building, and it's been 9 years already, and all we have is dug down. We haven't even started building up.
We got to get rid of all this regulations and overhead so we can build buildings faster.
I've barely been off this block for 4 months now. I mean, honest to God, is this the next year of our lives?
Go for a drive. Go take a vacation. Get on a plane.
I'm not going to get on a plane.
What?
No. Well, that's the best way to get COVID, really. Get on a plane. Even Fauci said that.
I know. I'm being facetious.
By the way, was Nancy Pelosi, was she bitching out Dr. Birx today?
Yeah.
I
just saw the headline and I didn't hear what the story was. Why is she on Birx's ass?
Gross.
I pretty much saw the same thing, just that Dr. Birx is not credible, according to Pelosi.
What do you mean she's not credible?
But she came out.
Isn't she with the CDC?
Birx, no. I don't think she is.
Who is she with? Is she with the surgeon? Wait. I thought she was a doctor of some note. I mean, she's not just some quack.
No. She was She was the United States Global AIDS Coordinator.
Let's see. I think.
Well, she's a doctor, American physician.
No, she's a doctor.
Served the coronavirus response coordinator for the White House.
I don't know why she would have a problem with Dr. Birx.
This is America's new gig economy.
Maybe she's just jealous of all her cool scarves.
She has a long, long list of.
Yeah, no.
Positions.
She's a legitimate doctor.
So, yeah, I don't think her background is in question, but it's just amazing to me how. What did Pelosi say about her, Brandon?
Who is part of the administration's leading, helping lead the.
I'm trying. I can't control this thing remotely. I'm sorry.
Deborah Birx.
She says she has a lack of confidence in her.
How in the world would a lack of competence?
Confidence.
Dr. Birx has a lack of confidence?
Nancy Pelosi has a lack of confidence in Dr. Birx.
Oh, okay.
Over the weekend.
You know, I can't control it. I'm sorry, I can't control it remotely.
Which is interesting
because I can't control it.
It's interesting because Trump came out and slammed Dr. Birx because she said something along the lines of COVID being, you know, widespread and peaking, and he didn't like that at all.
Well,
she's getting attacked from both sides.
I've never heard so many people who do not have medical backgrounds talking about medicine and doctors and judging. And it's really unnerving to me. And I don't like to hear it because I just don't think they're the people that should be talking about what works and what doesn't work.
This story gets even more ridiculous. Trump declined to say whether he disagreed with Dr. Birx's characterization of the coronavirus as, quote, widespread across the United States. Hours after he complained that she, quote, took the bait in responding to criticism from Nancy Pelosi. this is where we are right now with this whole
stupid
fucking disaster.
Yeah, you know, there's who was it today that said
I think we're doing very well, Trump added. I told Dr. Birx, I think we're doing very well. She was in my office a little while ago. She's a person I have a lot of respect for. I think Nancy Pelosi has treated her very badly. Very, very badly.
So in other words,
very
he,
nasty.
He suddenly
end quote.
Likes her because Nancy Pelosi doesn't like her.
Exactly.
And if she liked Trump, then Nancy Pelosi would not. Or if she blasted Trump, Nancy Pelosi would probably like her.
So crazy Nancy Pelosi said horrible things about Dr. Deborah Birx going after her because she is too positive on the very good job we are doing combating the China virus, including vaccines and therapeutics. In order to counter Nancy, Deborah took the bait and hit us. Pathetic, was his tweet.
You want to hit the outro?
How fun, man. God, the world's a blast right now.
Federal Reserve today said the U.S. should shut down for 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, if you want to wipe it out, but that's not going to happen.
I swear to God, I thought, well, why couldn't you wipe it out in 3 weeks?
True.
Because 3 weeks is how long it takes to not have coronavirus.
You felt that way in March.
Right.
But I would love knowing, going back to March, if we just stopped flights
this
for
is
a
what
month.
The guy said. He said, I mean, really shut down. Shut down, shut down. Not shut down some stuff and not other stuff, but yeah. Shut down everything.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated because I found myself almost agreeing, saying, look at all these other countries just back to normal, and here we are still fucking around because certain people can't be asked to stop doing things.
Yep. Hey, but at least Tiger Baseball is back. Until Friday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Cardinals have 13 people with coronavirus. Oh, that's too bad.
Friday!
By the way, there was a big outdoor party in Brooklyn. Did you see this yesterday?
Yeah.
And the people are wearing masks. It's a dance party.
Was that FBI agent there?
I don't think he was there. Oh. But there were about 300 or 400 people dancing away, wearing masks. And they were blasted today. They were called COVIDiots. And I'm like, but that's what the protests look like every night. It's a lot of people. Most of them are wearing masks. So does coronavirus know this is a party and they know that that's a protest? And, I mean, we can't have any large groups hanging out together, can we? I mean, if we really want to shut this down? I mean, that's what I do, is just everybody. But it'll never happen, so forget it. Sorry. Wasting your time.